All righty, Joel Radio's back. Hey, welcome to Joel Radio with Corey Hall. He's sitting right over there, everybody.
Welcome, Salam.
As we transition into summer, Corey, we're transitioning today.
Is that what we're doing?
Transitioning. There you go. If you were wondering when we were going to say something that could be taken as off color. 38 seconds?
No, America transitioned to a dictatorship.
I don't know what we're transitioning to. But shouldn't he just get a bucket of chicken and sit down with Kim Jong-un and just...
Sounds great, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Well, they look like they'd both enjoy that, and...
He definitely enjoys it, yeah.
We've seen Trump do it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know...
Well, how about a taco bowl?
Well, the best ones are made at Trump Tower. We know that already.
Wasn't it like Cinco de Mayo or some Latino holiday, and
yeah.
Trump was like... They have the best taco bowls.
Yeah, at Trump
at
Tower.
Trump Tower, and he's
at Trump
this
Tower.
Giant
ate a taco bowl. And they have the best. Those are the best ones.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Anthony Bourdain didn't visit Trump Tower to have
any,
the taco bowl.
Do you remember any president talking about? Well, I guess Clinton would eat at McDonald's and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any. And Reagan had his jelly beans and shit. But like, do you remember, he talks about food a lot.
Trump,
like, remember the chocolate cake that was the most. We had the great, you know, like they're like literally.
Was it the White House?
No, that was when
Chef?
North Korea was like launching nukes, and he was sitting with the Japanese Prime Minister at Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, okay.
And like we're eating the biggest, delicious piece of chocolate cake, and he's just like, I don't know. Although, you know, yeah, Obama went to Vietnam and ate noodles with Anthony Bourdain.
Okay,
so, the now late Anthony
Bourdain.
Well,
look, I think if it's anything to stop him from pushing the button and blowing us up. If they even had that capability, I'm fine with that.
That's the other question I have.
I don't really care.
I care if
by
they
any means necessary. No, I don't care if they eat. I'm not going to criticize Kentucky Fried Chicken diplomacy.
Are you? Well,
and I'm not going to.
I am.
Really?
Okay.
Why?
Because did he do anything to change his status as a fucking horrible dictator?
Well, but what if the Koreans want KFC?
Okay, but the KFC is not an issue.
Well,
it's maybe what do they want? Now, here's that's an important question. Do they want Georgia Gold?
Yeah.
Or the Nashville Hot?
You'd have to
Or
ask them.
Smoky Mountain Barbecue.
Well, I don't know enough about KFC.
Did they slow down on those colonels?
No, I think
they had Reba McEntire being the colonel. You know, has John Stamos been the colonel?
I don't believe John Stamos is.
Can we do
the
a
Colonel.
Beach Boys theme John Stamos California raisin barbecue or whatever? Can we do that?
But look, I think I'm fine with anything that prevents war. So I think it's
if I had any belief that Trump wasn't being played like a fiddle.
Yeah.
That I had any notion that he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
Which has he proven himself competent at knowing what he's doing?
No.
On a global scale. He's warring with Canada for Christ's
sake. Yeah, well, he did give that press conference, which seemed like he was up like way past his bedtime when he gave that.
Oh, God.
And then was like, well, I might be, you know, hey, we might be getting, I forget exactly, I'm paraphrasing, he said, yeah, you know, this might be a mistake, but I'll never admit that. I was like, well, that's the most honest thing you've ever said.
He was talking to George Stephanopoulos, and it was like, well, I don't know. This could be. Could work. Could not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I screwed
up.
But
no, you didn't see. He gave an hour-long press conference at 4 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, God.
And he just, you know, he was talking, and it was way more.
It's such a
Yeah, it was interesting.
Wreck.
I don't know.
Where's Melania? They didn't.
She's
ever,
around. Stop
they,
with that.
Did she come out of the hole?
She's out. She's fine. She had some surgery. She's around.
Do we have to send Chuck Norris in to get her? Is she in a tiger cage somewhere?
She's not, but that's a funny
John,
premise for a story.
Do we have to send John McCain and Walker, Texas Ranger?
First Lady.
First Blood, First Lady.
Well, was it Missing in Action, First Lady with Chuck Norris?
Yeah.
George Kennedy could be sitting
FLOTUS
there.
FLOTUS is down.
Yeah, something like that. That's a good premise.
Yeah, oh, shit.
All right. Why do we give that away
I don't
for free?
Know. We shouldn't.
Boy. I picked the wrong week to put the $14.99 price per download on this show.
How about this?
Card.
How about this, Brent?
I'm about to do that.
How about this, Brent?
Any day now.
How about this, Brent?
What's that?
How about former NBA hoopster and professional weirdo, Dennis Rodman?
Yeah.
Is sent to North Korea as a diplomatic envoy.
Okay.
But it's secretly his mission as a super spy.
Oh.
To intercept the document.
Wait a minute. I can tell you something. Dennis Rodman was the mole.
Yeah.
See? He's good at that.
Wasn't it the shit that he wasn't the mole? That was the worst, is that...
Was Dennis Rodman not... No,
he was not the mole.
He was not the mole, but he discovered that Angie Everhart was the mole?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Yes.
Won the mole.
I would say that
he outed the mole.
That was the least believable television I've ever... Battlestar Galactica had a more grounded and realistic premise. Unbelievable.
Well...
Yeah, that's how long we've been doing this show. Yes. We used to do the mole coverage.
We had full... Well, I told you, didn't I find... I don't know if we talked about it on the show.
Now, was that the Ahmad Rashad season?
Well, Ahmad Rashad did all the celebrity moles. I don't think...
Did he do all... Did Cooper only
do
the straight moles?
I think
moles?
Anderson Cooper did the non-famous moles.
Ironically, Anderson Cooper did the straight moles.
But I remember I found my mole journal where I had all my mole notes from each episode. I found that the other day.
Oh,
I think maybe I put that on Facebook. I can't remember.
Yeah,
but I found that, and that was interesting.
All right,
had all my mole notes. But I like that Rodman had the pot coin shirt. So there is pot cryptocurrency that is being endorsed by Rodman while he's on this diplomatic mission.
I'm surprised he didn't have goldenpalace.com on his
that's the new
tattooed
one.
On his back.
Well, that's the new scam.
Yeah.
The new scam is crypto. It used to be casinos.
Wasn't that what all the boxers put on their...
Well, yeah, because...
Remember they'd have it like written on their backs?
But they cracked down on that. And then, you know, remember for a while it was draft... What was it? FanDuel and DraftKings.
FanDuel, though, DraftKings. Did those go away?
Well, they cracked down on them, too.
Yeah.
In some kind of way. I'm not even sure
exactly.
Surprised
it's not HQ Trivia.
Well, they're probably the next ones.
Yeah.
And it may not be that... But people feel that HQ is a... I've heard that from people. That HQ is some sort of pyramid. And I don't know.
Well, they're getting endorsements is what's happening. Mm. Is that they just did like they had for the NBA finals.
Yeah.
They were giving away $100,000 each game. Mm-hmm. Each game of the NBA finals, but it was like a four game route or what was it a sweep?
Yeah.
Was it a sweep or did Cleveland win?
Golden State swept the NBA Finals in four.
Okay, they did win. Yeah, so...
Wait, can I ask a question about the NBA, Corey, because I don't follow it.
Uh-huh.
There's somebody named LeBron James,
okay.
And that person is a woman who's not good at basketball. This is what social media taught me in the last week. Did I get anything wrong, Corey? Is that what I'm wrong? Am I right or wrong on that? Am I correct?
I believe LeBron James is an elderly cleaning lady.
Yeah, okay.
That carried Michael Jordan's bags.
Oh, no, that's fine.
That
sounds accurate to what I'm hearing.
It's
that's the word on the street.
Hot takes about LeBron do.
But it's like they're so passionate. Like, it's like, okay, so he lost a game. Like, why are you, you know?
I know it's real popular in all current, as they say, in the culture to talk about how white people are awful.
Yes.
And we are.
Yeah.
No doubt. We popularized coconut water. I appreciate that.
Blame Whitey.
Yeah, no. Blame Whitey for
guilty.
The coconut water is strictly on, you know.
On the Next Roll Radio, white people on trial. Exhibit A, coconut water.
By the way, Latinos are swimming in coconuts.
Okay.
And they're not walking around with coconut water. You know what I'm saying? It's not like a...
Okay.
They got pina coladas, but anyway. There's a plenty of things to blame white people for. But I don't know if any... Does your Facebook feed contain as much hockey discussion?
No, very little.
As there is about... Every black guy has a hot take on LeBron.
Absolutely.
There's NBA hot takes from... You cannot be black in America and not have 15 hot takes about Steph Curry.
Well, the NBA is arguably... Boy, I don't want to speak for... But I think in black... It is the most important thing to black America that would be not... You know what I mean?
One of the biggest...
It is the biggest thing in the world.
It's probably one of the big... I mean, obviously...
In terms of popular culture, it's the biggest thing in the world.
That and hip-hop.
No, it's bigger than hip-hop. I think it's absolutely bigger than hip-hop right now. I think at this moment in 2018,
yeah.
Well, now the NBA season's over, okay, but when the NBA season is at its height,
in a way that,
nothing's bigger than that
in a way
right
that,
now.
In a way that other cultures don't seem to be, I mean, I...
The NBA is still, like, super popular, but it's become,
obviously,
like,
if we were in England, everybody would be talking about football and you know...
Right.
We'd be...
But even America... I mean,
how shite Everton
okay,
was.
Okay, but in American culture, you can say white culture, whatever, but the NFL gets real big, like Super Bowl and around then, but it only feels like the NBA is like the biggest story in the world
a couple days a year. But the thing is, people are fans of teams
okay.
in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're a Lions fan or you're a Giants fan or you're whatever you are. And if your team's not in the Super Bowl... Tom Brady gets a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
But in general, the discussion of the NBA Finals, everybody, even if your team's not in it,
yeah.
It's an endless discussion of who's the greatest, what's the best, you know. Now, I'm a big sports fan, and I watched the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay, yeah.
Which, another sweep? Which, thankfully, the Capitals won.
Okay.
No, I think the... Knights won.
The Knights won game one, right?
And then they were. It was like a,
whatever. They lost four straight.
It was a five game sweep.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
They won the first game and then got swept. But and justice was done because I didn't want an expansion team winning.
Well, you weren't rooting for Gerard Gallant?
No, I was not. That's another thing that makes me nuts. And I'm sure it happens.
He's a former Detroit Red Wing.
Well, it happens in this town.
No,
there's a certain. Like small town mentality. Detroit's a major city, and we're becoming more major all the time. We're starting to resemble a real city again, in terms of like viability of the domestic, you know, the central business district.
Sure, yeah.
I was downtown four times last week, and it was like people were all over the place.
Yeah.
Parking was a pain in the ass. Anyway, I'm just saying. There's a Homerism quality. Mm-hmm. Detroit. Yeah. I'm sure it happens in other places, maybe Buffalo, I don't know, but it's like we're supposed to root for anybody who ever played for Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, even if they played here for one season,
mm-hmm.
there was an article, there was a tight end that was on The Bachelorette.
Yeah?
And he was here for half a season.
Who was that?
Clay Harbor.
He played for the Lions?
Clay Harbor played for the Lions for...
I don't even remember him.
Half of the 2016 season.
I watched every Lions game of 2016.
And the goddamn Detroit...
And I've never heard of that
guy. And the goddamn
guy.
Detroit News had an article about how Clay Harbor was on The Bachelorette.
Unbelievable.
And I'm like, who cares?
Detroit does have a thing about...
It's parochial.
It's things that touch greatness are very, like... people are very proud of that. You know... This guy originally from Detroit, you know, and like it's like
there's guys that
Detroit claims a lot of people that maybe shouldn't be claimed as Detroiters in a way.
Oh God, look, I know it because I write articles, and if it's got a Detroit angle on it, then it's generally going to have a better chance of selling.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I interviewed Rob Paulson, who's a voiceover guy, and I think that went through because he's from here. He grew up in Livonia.
Yeah,
and he was a super great guy. He was the guy who does the Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain and the Ninja Turtles. But I'm just saying, it had a local angle, you know, and you always have to have a local angle to sell stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm tired of this. The cucking of Justin Verlander, of the Tigers fans. when Justin Verlander left town.
Yes.
And then all these simpletons.
Yeah.
The guy was here, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, going to be a Hall of Fame pitcher. Cy Young winner, took us to the World Series, didn't win. We're supposed to be like, yay, Houston, woo!
Yeah.
I hate that mentality. That's a Detroit mentality through and through.
It is, but, it's...
Gerard Gallant, yay!
I'm like, well, it's...
Gerard Gallant played in the...
But doesn't Chicago
90s?
Suffer from that as the second city and all
Well,
that,
there is a little bit,
sort
yes.
of the envy of...
Cleveland definitely has that.
We're going to tell you, everyone thinks we... But because everybody says Detroit sucks... For obvious reasons, that Detroit has to constantly tell people that it doesn't suck. Because people from Detroit...
Well, everybody moves to places like L.A. and Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because they're amazing.
Yeah.
So they don't have that sense of civic identification where it's like, if you're from Wichita, God damn it, we're going to make a big deal out of you doing anything in life.
If you accomplished anything.
Yeah.
That's almost never in Wichita, by the way.
It's never in Wichita. You can't accomplish shit in Wichita.
It's hard to do anything.
And you can't really accomplish shit in Detroit.
Right.
So
the lesson of people from Detroit becoming famous is, if you want to be famous, first step one, leave Detroit. Leave Detroit. That's
as
the first
you
thing
and
you
I
do.
Are prime evidence of.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what's next on the agenda?
I got a million topics. Well, I think, okay, so here's another thing that happened this week in the last 10 days, say. So International House of Pancakes said, Corey, that they were going to change.
Oh, sweet.
Listen to this,
sweet
Corey.
Sweet sassy molassy. No.
They're going to change the name from IHOP to IHOB. IHOB.
What?
IHOB. And they wouldn't tell you what the B stood for. And everyone went crazy, and amongst most people, basically they put this and said, we're changing the name of the restaurant.
Honestly,
and people assumed the B was going to be breakfast, I think.
I thought brunch.
Kind of the consensus, brunch.
I thought brunch was going to be the leader in the
corona. Okay, first of all, why you're not running a multi-million dollar conglomerate of restaurants,
because,
I don't understand.
No, because
brunch is hot.
There's an actual market for brunch.
People would go to a brunch spot.
And if IHOP slapped some Eggs Benedict on their menu and were like, we're doing brunch now, that would, you know.
And that would be great. Here's the problem with your argument. The problem is that IHOP's a complete piece of shit, and it always has been. And the world lost their mind about this. Millions and millions of people who wouldn't fucking step foot in an IHOP. And look, people go to IHOP, and IHOP's, it's garbage. I've been to IHOP. You and I have been to an IHOP, I think. But IHOP is garbage.
Well, you go to an IHOP if you're a comedian on the road, and it's there.
It's an IHOP is, there's nothing else around, let's go to IHOP. Nothing else is open, let's go to IHOP. IHOP kind of serves as like a Waffle House in a lot of ways. Waffle House is better in its own way.
In its own terrible way. I probably go to an IHOP twice a year, maybe. For the said reason that it's next to the hotel or whatever, you're on the road.
Well, there's one up on Woodward Avenue.
Take my dad to IHOP once in a while. You know, he wants to go get a Rudy Tooty fresh bread. I will say the one reason IHOP has to exist.
Yeah.
As far as I can. Well, okay, the Denny's have disappeared.
That's true. Yeah, Denny's in decline.
I know that there are Denny's other places.
There are.
In this area, all the there were six Denny's in the area that all vanished.
Denny's, and even though there is an IHOP sort of in a very well-populated part of Detroit here that, you know, we live in Oakland County, Denny's is more of like a small-town thing now, right? It's more of a highway exit kind of deal.
And
I think IHOP a little bit, too. But anyway, so IHOP says
it is a roadside.
We're going to change the name of the restaurant.
But the syrups, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, the syrups, yeah, of course.
That's the only genius part of IHOP is that they have not just maple, they have blueberry, strawberry, and butter pecan.
And you don't have to ask for them. They're not special.
They're just always on the
table. They're always there. You can always mix it up a little bit.
I don't understand why the blueberry syrup is genius.
Yeah, but
I don't know why they haven't done it.
I think if you go to... What's the place on the expensive place on Woodward, the original Pancake House?
I think they
have other syrups, don't they?
They do, but they're probably specific to, like, if you get the apple pancake.
No, they give
you get like a
apple
cinnamon
syrup.
You get like a cinnamon syrup, but you know what I mean. They're not on the table.
I think One Eyed Betty's will serve you different syrups. I think that kind of comes. But anyway, here's the point. Yeah. The point is, no one cares about IHOP. All of a sudden, everyone cared about IHOP and had this grand vision. Like Corey's grand brunch vision.
Yeah.
So everyone got, I don't know if they got excited, but it was a fun game. Everyone was into it.
Sure.
Then they announced that the B stands for burgers. And
it flopped.
Well, here's the other thing. They also announced, it's funny because this got lost. What they said was, we're going to be IHOB. Then they said the B stands for burgers. And by the way, we're not really changing the name. It's still IHOP. People said they've now changed the name. If you ask somebody on the street, what happened to IHOP? Oh, they changed their name. They have not, in fact, changed their name. And everyone lost their mind. In other words,
you know why?
They asked people to, hey, talk about our restaurant. And please, and we're going to tell you something that is ultimately something you're not going to like, but you're still going to talk about it. Well, I don't know. Did they just troll the entire world, Corey?
Okay, it was the Yanni and Laurel of 2 days ago.
Okay.
And how long did Yanni and Laurel last?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I mean, those kids, I thought they were going to have a bright future.
That's true.
I mean, I saw them walk down the aisle, Corey, yes. And I said,
yes.
But what?
This is made to last.
Well, what do you think? I mean, why would they?
Are these going to be the hot baby names of next year? The 2019 hot baby names, Yanni and Laurel? But that was a 2-day thing. Everything on the internet is now.
Well.
At Coffefe.
Yes.
Do you remember the Coffefe?
Yeah,
we all made
Trump's Coffefe.
400 fucking Coffefe jokes.
Yeah. Well, that's,
and then that went away.
People get sick of the joke after a while.
Well, I think it's two things. People get either things get memed and joked into oblivion,
yeah.
And then like 60% of the public doesn't get the joke.
Do or
and so IHOP was like making a joke,
but IHOP
and they don't get it.
Knew, but IHOP must have known what the reaction ultimately was going to be is that people don't want hamburgers from IHOP. They don't really want anything from IHOP
but
except
a
for a breakfast when you're drunk,
right.
Mostly. I mean,
no, you can.
So,
by the way, you can get a steak on the menu at IHOP.
Yes.
You can get a, you know, this is the same thing Bob Evans does.
Yeah.
Bob Evans is always like, well, we got to sell some more lunch.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, it's the new Bob Evans Super Stacker Salad.
And you can argue Taco Bell is introducing new shit all
the
time.
They have breakfast
and
all that stuff.
New menu
but
items.
The bottom line is that IHOP and Bob Evans are breakfast establishments.
Mm-hmm.
That is the meal that they serve.
Yeah.
That is why people go there.
Yeah.
No one goes into and going, you know what I really want is a ciabatta sandwich from Bob Evans. It's never like, you know, that's not what they're known for. In the same way that like McDonald's tries to do other shit, but ultimately people are like, I'd like a Big Mac, please.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean.
I want a burger and fries and a Coke. And that's
why they go.
But does this hurt IHOP or is it just, hey, we're talking about it like fucking. I hate that people lost their mind on this. And yet on here discussing it in a way that.
Okay. What you're getting at here is that people are dumb. And
right.
I think if you had to go back to the beginning of the first episode of Corey and Joel Radio.
Oh.
To today's episode 800 of Joel Radio, whatever this is.
Yeah.
The theme that we've had, people are stupid. I think that's the through line because, okay, locally, Como's, which is a pizzeria joint around the corner from Joel. Which has been there since like 1948
yes.
or something.
We've been there many times.
A family-run pizzeria for years and years.
Was the post-Club Bart comedy
yes.
night hangout
took,
for years.
Took people like Bill Dwyer and Greg Giraldo
yes.
over there and lots of
yeah.
visiting dignitaries. And
we watched a drunken Rich Fisher there. And
yeah. Oh, God.
yeah.
Oh,
it's a local news anchor.
Who was the big Turkish piston? He was in there one night.
Mehmet Okur?
Mehmet Okur
yes,
was in there.
Mehmet Okur has been
anyway.
In there.
So we had many nights and this is where the probably most contentious issue in the history of this partnership has ever arose, the cheese topping debate.
Oh. Did we talk about Greg Giraldo passing out?
Greg Giraldo passed out in his linguine.
He did. He passed out.
He ordered like a bowl of linguine or some kind of like pasta carbonara.
You know, it's so funny.
And we're like talking to Greg.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we're turn around. We go, hey, Greg, what do you think? And he's
you know, that is,
like,
it's funny because I know Greg Giraldo might be more famous now than he was then.
At the time.
And
he
now,
was always famous with comics.
But now I feel like if a big comic went out to like dinner with some other comics
yeah.
and fell asleep at the table, that would be like a national news story on some level now.
You know, maybe.
Or at least within comedy or something.
And
or
we didn't like run out and,
no!
and go.
No one even cared.
Hey guys, Greg Giraldo.
It was funny to
literally,
us.
Literally,
like,
he fucking slumped into his pasta plate.
But remember he had like some no, like in his like hand, he was clutching like some caffeine, like trucker speed or something. It was like
I loved Greg.
It was fucking great.
I only, you know,
he was great.
I ran into Greg a few times. I'm not saying he was my best friend, but
and
he was
we
great.
Actually believe that Giraldo probably was just tired from the road. Really, right? I mean, was he drinking that night? Probably, but I don't think. And who knows what else he did? But it wasn't like he was out of his mind on drugs when
well,
he was hanging
know,
out with us.
It
was just him.
Greg was using. And you know what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guess what? Tony Bourdain was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll get to him.
He never was he was never sober.
No.
So it wasn't. Anyway. But the Como's, before I get too
get to Como's.
Away,
Como's.
Como's closed because they had the ownership was it was a brother and sister that had been running it for years and years.
Yes.
And they were not they had stopped caring. And
yes.
It was kind of bad service. The place was filthy.
Well, they had...
She would, like, chain smoke in the kitchen. You know what I mean?
What's the word about it? What's the phrase they say? You fell upwards, sort of. Like, as Ferndale got more popular, that restaurant got more popular, even though it declined.
They did,
they weren't feeling the restaurant, effects of it. Yeah.
So they had a restaurant since 1948.
Yeah.
They didn't change anything. But it wasn't like their product was like, you know what I mean? You know these, like, landmark places where it's like Katz's Delicatessen.
Yeah.
We're not going to change a fucking thing because this is what Jews enjoyed in 1935 and it's what they're going to enjoy now. You know what I mean? We're not changing the pastrami. Yeah. Como's wasn't exactly this like gold star brand where they were just a regular pizzeria. So their pizza was okay, but it wasn't this like, you know, the Coney Island or whatever. It wasn't some unassailable thing. And they just let it slip. Mm-hmm. And there were cockroaches. And they had like multiple health code violations. They had
liquor control violations.
They lost their liquor license like two or three times. The place got shuttered three times. And then they'd come back and open up and be like, well, yeah, we changed it. We're cleaning it up. Mm-hmm. Then they get shut down again. Yeah. So they sold it.
And probably made a fortune on it as well.
It's on a hot corner.
Yeah.
It's on a hot corner in a popular bar neighborhood that's only growing in popularity. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they made a killing on it. They sold it to a chain of
development group.
Restaurant operators.
Yeah.
They don't have, it's not like a Denny's, but they have half dozen restaurants, including Bo's and Social in Birmingham, two really nice restaurants.
Yeah.
And they're going to run a clean, you know what I mean? They're going to come in, they're going to remodel, they're going to clean it up, but it'll still be a pizza place. They're going to keep the name, they're keeping the pizza oven. People couldn't figure that out on Facebook, and we're all like, fuck it, shut it down! Oh, gross!
Yeah, there was a
Why are they
going to
do it again?
I'm
like, you missed
thing.
The fucking point that they sold it, and it's not the same people.
Yeah, it's a weird
but
thing.
But that people were persistently stupid
about
it. Well,
it could be a mistake. To me, if you're asking my advice... This is Joel Fragamenti you're looking at, Corey.
Sure.
You know how much money I've made in the restaurant business in my life? I just want to put that out there. I've made $0 in the restaurant business. Zero, not a nickel. My advice would be change the name of the place. Because I think there's a lot of negative connotation to Como's amongst certain people.
I think that's localized to the name.
It might be.
I think that's Ferndale. Because if you ask people that live in...
Yeah, but who's going to Como's?
No, but if you ask people that
live... people in Ferndale.
But if you ask people that live in, like, Clinton Township... They've heard of Como's.
Yeah, but
they remember Como's in the old days.
It ain't. It's not Buddy's Pizza or something. It's not like some legendary thing.
No.
It's just what happens to be there. And I think anything on that corner would have a chance of being successful. I just think that if you make it too high end.
Which they might be inclined to do.
It's probably going to fail because usually Ferndale high end does not. Fine dining in Ferndale, just generally speaking, doesn't work. And I know there's places that
it's kind of a mix. It's like elevated casual.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? It's casual food. It's like the taco.
The shabby chic thing has worked more than the trying to be high end.
Not the white linen 4-star.
But the local kitchen thing failed.
Michelin star thing.
A bunch of these that have failed.
Yeah, it is. It had
to become something else.
It's got to be like good quality. But not
divey on some level.
Culinary.
Well, if you look at Public House or One Eyed Betty's or places like that, they've kind of nailed it. And a lot of these other things,
which is elevated above your average diner food.
Right.
It's good, but it's not this.
I don't think anyone goes to Otis Supply anymore. I think that's about over. I think Voyager.
I've never even been.
There's no reason to go to Otis Supply. The food's terrible.
Well, but
it's beautiful in there. But it's lousy food.
Here's the other thing. There's a new restaurant that opens every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of a restaurant boom in Detroit, and Ferndale is the first suburb north of Detroit.
Yeah.
So it's like we're in a restaurant boom. Something's opening all the time. It's so hard to maintain the quality of a restaurant. You know. It's tough.
It's
a tough racket.
Well, the point of Como's is what? People are losing their minds about it?
Is that people didn't understand the context of the fucking story.
Yeah.
The story is that Como's was sold.
Yes.
But people are acting as if the same owners are opening it up again.
Are they?
No.
No, but I mean, are people reacting that
way? Yes, I saw.
Oh, I don't know that.
I saw dozens of reactions that were like,
who are you?
Shut it down. And they were angry.
Were they talking about LeBronda, the same people?
They were talking about LeBron, yes.
I don't know.
They were talking about baby Bron Bron and how he can't carry a team on his own. And Dan Gill, oh, God, it's so annoying.
Apparently this LeBron, I think he should probably just stop playing basketball.
Pack it up, right?
I don't think he's got a future in this.
If he doesn't have 12 championships... Why, you know, that,
well, Corey, way, I want,
way,
I want.
By the way, they always talk about, is he better than Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Doesn't like Bill Russell have like 8, 9 championships or something like?
It's something like
way
that.
More than those.
Well,
two?
Corey, and again, black people, black people, stop trying to figure out what, who, or what the greatest of all time is.
What are you talking
about?
Stop. That's all they do.
That's all they do, and it's like
that's all.
What,
but
why?
No, in fairness, why, in fairness, when I say they. Everybody does this.
Everybody does that, but it is especially populist. Like
in the NBA, there's this very specific focus on
we've talked
who
about
the greatest
this before,
in the NBA is.
But yes. There was a poll that, you know, Beyonce is the greatest of all time, yes or no? And 75% of the people said no. And people that voted yes lost their mind.
Well,
but I mean, the
white folk have been arguing about the Beatles and the Stones for 50
years. Yeah, but it's so weird that it's not enough to be the most successful, most famous person living today. That, for some reason, in that community, that threshold isn't enough. Like, it's not enough to be rich and famous. It's not enough to be the best at what you do. Well, you have to be better than every single person that ever came before you, or you suck on some. It's a very weird, I don't understand that. I don't get that at all. I mean, yeah, people debate that. You know, boy, this Super Bowl team that won, I think this Patriots is the greatest of all time.
That's kind
of people talk about it for 2 seconds and then it's over. But when people go, LeBron's the greatest basketball player of all time, it's no, he's not the greatest basketball player of all time. In fact, he's not even a good basketball player at all. And it's like, I don't get that. It's so weird.
Well, yeah.
It is a weird thing.
It's not enough to say who's
the best of all time.
But you're talking about, this is a specific thing to the NBA fan.
Yes.
And particularly kind of.
And hip hop and all this stuff.
Yeah, you're right about that specific culture, but it is probably reflective of the larger overculture of the internet, which wants extremes.
Everything is
world star hip hop. It's a knockout punch. Everything is Kimbo Slice. It's got to be. You know what I mean?
I'm going to look into who owns this internet because I'm not a fan.
Right.
I want something done.
We know who owns the internet.
Who's that?
With net neutrality, it's Comcast is what it's going to be.
Thank God.
This show's going to get harder to find.
This show?
This show's already hidden in the sub basement.
I've tried to make this show as difficult as possible for any of you. The fact that you found this show, you are doing a great job. All right, Anthony Bourdain is dead, Corey. I know that any guy over 40 who enjoys a restaurant, this was their hero.
I was a big fan of Bourdain, and
go ahead, tell us about Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain was basically a working chef in a fairly good restaurant in New York, and he worked his way up through a series of restaurants. Then he wrote a piece for the late lamented New York Press, which was the rival to the Village Voice.
Okay.
That got picked up by the New Yorker, which was kind of unprecedented that they would just pick a guy's column off the street.
And then it was.
Yeah.
Maybe not as big.
No, but this was about 1994 or something. And then he got a book deal and got blown up. And then he got on TV. The original show was on the Food Network called The Cook's Tour, which I watched.
Okay.
He had a very different approach and edge to him than other food people.
Yeah.
He had a rock and kind of a punk rock attitude.
When did he start wearing the sunglasses on the back of his head?
Oh, wait.
Is that a different guy? Yeah, he's still alive? Fuck.
Yeah, that guy's still
alive. Fuck, I'm sorry.
The hacks live forever. You know that, right?
That he's going to be 95.
Jeff Dunham will outlive you and me. The hacks never die.
That's it?
The artists always go first.
Okay. Well, go ahead. So Anthony Bourdain's on TV.
So anyway, and then he had a series of other shows on the Travel Channel and No Reservations, yeah. And then the latest one was Parts Unknown, which are all basically the same thing. It's him going around.
It's him traveling around, meeting with people, eating food. Yeah, I've seen plenty of those shows. Pretty much. I'm not a massive fan, but I saw a lot of them.
But he had a different approach and a different. He was always this kind of hard partying rock
star. How many wristbands like did he wear? Was it more than three on each arm? Did he
ever
do that? A lot
of blousy linen shirts and wristbands and jeans that were appropriately aged. I mean, a hipster dude. I loved Anthony Bourdain. He was.
What about how many upside down tennis visors did he wear backwards? Did he ever do that?
No.
Did he ever wear one? No?
Don't recall.
I thought you needed to do that to be famous as a chef.
Well, no, he didn't bleach his hair and spike it up, and he never, he didn't put butter and oil into everything and start talking about the Blakes.
I'm enjoying making fun of that idiot more
he's
than
such
I,
a dick.
In the middle. By the way, Anthony Bourdain would completely approve of this tribute.
Oh, yeah, he hated Guy Fieri.
I think he
how many flames on his bowling shirts?
How many
bowling shirts with flames going up him did Tony Bourdain have in his closet?
How many NASCAR infields did Anthony Bourdain visit, would you say?
He must have done one or two.
You think he might have?
Because he would go everywhere.
Just for fun, yeah. He did.
He had,
discriminate.
I mean, you know, he'd go to Kuala Lumpur or Montana, or whatever.
He came to Detroit.
He came to Detroit. He had beer with Ted Nugent.
Okay, yeah.
Who he was like, I couldn't disagree with somebody more, and Ted Nugent was like, I've had three beers in my life, and I'm like, oh, so you're just an asshole on your own?
Yeah, just. No substances necessary.
Yeah, some of these guys that are
by
like...
By default.
You've been in... Okay, he just got off on banging teenage girls. That was Nugent's thing.
Oh, okay.
But anyway. Mm-hmm.
But he's got... Everybody's got a vice.
But Bourdain was definitely in that whole Hunter S. Thompson... you know, it's funny. I liked him a lot, and he's bordered on being one of the poser douchebags that I don't like. Like,
well,
Tom Waits... Not that I don't like Tom Waits.
No.
But I don't like fans of Tom Waits.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Bukowski.
There's a deeply pretentious stream of guys, and you can list the people they like William Burroughs and Hunter S. Thompson.
And you like the Pogues and Tom Waits. We get it.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand exactly.
You know exactly the
You are completely unique, sir. You are completely different from anyone else.
No one's ever thought
except for 87 guys sitting at the bar right next to you. You're all the same. Yes, it's completely typical.
But Bourdain also had had some contrary positions he would take and was very outspoken about whatever and didn't have any problem shitting on other chefs and Food Network and celebrating all his friends that he loved. So I liked him a lot. I was bummed out to hear it, but I was also kind of not like... It was sad, but it didn't surprise me in that the guy was an addict.
Yeah.
He was an admitted heroin addict.
Yeah.
He never was in recovery. Joe Rogan said that, and Joe knew him and did a couple episodes or hung out with him and stuff, and said, like, he could outdrink and smoke me, and he was, like, went hard at it and never felt the need to give it up.
Well, I think, didn't he go from heroin to cocaine and then sort of... gave up coke, but was still drinking and smoking pot.
There's some people that are like, well, once you got to quit everything.
Yeah.
And then you're Marc Maron and you quit all the drugs, but you're doing nicotine lozenges. You know what I mean? You're just finding some other way to shift the...
Well, that's an addict mentality.
Right.
Like, hey, I quit that, but...
Or you're like, I got to go completely 100% clean and sober.
Yeah.
Bourdain was always like, nah, fuck it, I'm gonna smoke this and drink, but I'm just not gonna shoot up.
Yeah.
And that seemed to work for him for a long time, but who knows?
Yeah.
I think that's an instructive case of nobody seemed to have a better life.
Yeah.
The guy's life was literally traveling around the globe and eating in the best restaurants and going to the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah.
But eventually also what that means. You're in a lot of buses.
Yeah.
You're in a lot of planes.
I'm sure,
You're in a lot of hotel rooms.
And
all the hotel rooms look alike.
Yeah.
And eventually that gets pretty disorienting.
Yeah. Another 5-star meal, which did nothing for him.
So what it goes to, this is the...
Or you could just say that the illness, what's going on in your head, that there is nothing. You know, even if it's the world that you, I'm not saying you, but as a person may fantasize to have that really nothing could make you happy. I mean, and if nothing can make you happy, then
I don't have any particular worries about you being that. I don't think you're that kind of personality.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But some people, even if you know them, you can't really be sure what's going on inside them internally and what's in their lives.
And you could argue that his lifestyle extended his life, because if he had not been successful and rich and famous in the way that he was, he could have been dead as an unknown guy. Oh, this chef from New York killed himself. And no one would give a shit. Now, so maybe course, we were...
I look and I go, look, he was 61. He could have been 65 or 70. But
yeah.
Let's face it. He had a...
Yeah.
Who had a better ride?
He had a good run.
Who had a better ride in the last 20 years than Tony Bourdain? He went everywhere, did everything. He was banging Asia Argento, who was 20 years younger than him. Although, now there's controversy. Now there's the tabloids are talking about it. She dumped him or was cheating on him.
There are people, I saw an article about she was not good for him and he was acting irrationally about her, but I think that happened.
The guy was, by the way, he was into jujitsu. He was like a jujitsu devotee and was like, Joe Rogan was like, he trained every day and was like in this gym. And I'm like, who knows what went
on? Yeah, but if you're, you know what? And I know this from my life, having nothing to do with Anthony Bourdain. Guys that get too like into jujitsu, it's kind of a flag.
Isn't it?
Yeah, there's some guys that I just kind of go like, yeah, I don't know about this guy.
They've lost their mind.
He's a little too into this. I mean, you can be too into anything, but when I hear you're too into jujitsu, it's like... It's almost, it's not exactly like the guy who like puts guns on his Facebook. It's the next level down from that, but it's,
well,
it's,
I don't think Bourdain was hiding his dark emotions or his,
yeah.
You know what I mean? The guy was like, basically like, look, he put it out there.
Yeah.
And I guess most people just looked and went, well, the fun loving part of him is the part that wins out. But ultimately, who knows?
Apparently not. The darkness creeps in
And I know everybody on Facebook is like putting the National Suicide Prevention hotline number out there.
Yeah.
And good for you. But there's no way to know what's going on or prevent this. But
no.
I can only say if you have friends that you think might have issues that relate to this, it's your responsibility, I think, to be the friend. You can't stop it. You can't prevent it.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't feel responsible for it. But you can try to reach out.
Well, I think when you talk about suicide, the precursor to suicide in virtually every case is mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who is not a precursor to suicide? Like maybe somebody who's been charged with a crime that is on the run and like that kind of suicide is not. But for most suicide, you know, people who lost all their money in the stock market might blow their brains out or hang themselves or something. But for most people that commit suicide, there are clear signs of mental illness ahead of that, and that's when you should be worried.
People who've been to Flavortown never commit suicide.
Oh, no, they're so happy.
When they hang out.
Kidding me?
Oh, yeah. You guys who stuffed a hot dog inside a cheeseburger and then dumped it in a bowl of chili, those guys live forever.
Listen, when you're deep frying pickles, the last thing you're thinking about is hanging yourself with a fucking bathrobe belt.
When you're pouring sriracha on your cereal, when you're riding in a Mustang with the top down,
look,
the hair, the wind blowing through your bleach blonde 52-year-old hair.
Listen, have you tried to hang yourself with a visor? Yeah. That's fucking challenging. There's no way. It's not going to hold his weight.
By the way,
that dude's like 280.
First of all, the guy's got a neck like a keg. It's going to be hard to hang him. Very difficult. It's too many layers of fat around that neck. Oh, Jesus.
He made a noose out of fried cheese, Corey, and he tried to off himself.
He's making Captain Crunch coated meatball subs.
Yeah.
Come on.
Guy's
living the edge.
I mean,
he's, by the way, Guy Fieri.
You can't.
Will be 107. Wait, first of all, his name is F-I-R-E-I.
Yes. Not one of my people. I'm not claiming
it. But why is he Fieri?
Because he's an asshole.
There's no fucking T in there.
Listen, you can't stack
meat.
How high do you have to stack your meat so you can jump off it and kill yourself, Corey? That's pretty fucking high. He's going to be building that fucking sandwich.
I could see him though, because like the 8,000th time he's in a diner.
Of course you can see him. He's 300 pounds.
Right. But the like 800th time he's in a diner in Davenport, Iowa, watching a guy stack bologna on top of a cheeseburger. All right,
it's
goes
never,
down on the grill.
Never. All right, what
goes in?
Thrilling.
What goes in the paprika?
Yeah.
All right, now you make that a slurry. It's like he's just always
never going to be bored with that.
Oh my god,
he'll never stop with
that. Everybody's got a gig, you know. Everybody's got a gig, and everybody gets bored with it eventually.
I guess not him.
Oh, speaking of celebrity assholes,
are we? Oh. What? Oh, do you? Oh, right, go ahead. Yeah, I think I see where you're going. That's on the agenda.
I had a.
I've crossed off two of 37 things. So we're on a pace to do a 9-hour show, Corey.
You know,
let's get into it.
From every account I've heard, Tony was great with his fans.
Okay, yeah.
But a famous kind of curmudgeon-y asshole.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like him, who he had opinions about. But
yeah,
he was always cool to people who ran into him, and a couple of my friends had run into him.
Well, that's cool.
I had a run in with a celebrity.
And who was that, Corey Hall?
Well, interestingly enough, I was doing an interview with. Now this is funny. I covered both sides of the world in one day.
Yeah.
So I was doing an interview. There's a guy named David Diggs.
David Diggs,
who played Thomas Jefferson in the original cast of Hamilton.
Oh my God.
He's got like a big, huge smile.
My panties are moist from over
exactly.
here.
Exactly. He's got like big, curly, fro hair.
Yeah.
And a big Cheshire cat smile.
Okay.
You'd recognize him if you saw him. He was in, anyway, he played Thomas Jefferson in the original cast of Hamilton, broke out from that, was kind of a big, even inside Hamilton, he was a big star.
Okay.
For his performance. I think he got Tony nominated or whatever.
Yeah, Broadway people sneak up on you.
Right.
Because they end up in a movie and people are like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
Right.
And then they're like, well, yeah, this is the guy, you know, like the Rent people and shit. You're yes. like, who the fuck are you? Where'd you come from? And you're like, oh, you were in Rent for 20 years. Okay.
Yeah.
I get
yeah.
it now.
Yeah. Anyway, so this guy, and he was super cool. He's got a movie coming out. He and his partner, who grew up together, were in it. And I say partner in a heterosexual Batman
production
Robin
partner.
Way.
Yeah.
Anyway, his friend co-stars with him, and so I talked to them, and they got a movie called Blind Spotting that's coming out in July. Anyway, so I was doing an interview with those guys at the Foundation Hotel.
Yes.
In downtown Detroit, which is a modified fire station.
Yes.
That's been converted, police building.
I will tell you about the Foundation. I know a lot about it.
Okay. Now that is the now it's got a restaurant in there with the dumbest title.
What's the name of the restaurant?
The Apparatus Room.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Which is a fine dining, high end, expensive place that everybody likes. So in this place, this is state of 2018 hipster architecture.
Yeah, it's
in terms of
boutique hotel.
It's a hipster boutique hotel.
Yes.
Circa 2018.
Yeah.
It's got those Edison bulbs hanging over the exposed Edison bulbs hanging over the bar. Leather couches everywhere. A lot of granite and steel and leather. It's beautiful, though. It is gorgeously done.
Let me tell you about the Foundation. It was a fire station. They did shoot, if you see the movie Real Steel, which I was an extra in, they shot some of the, where it's like the place where Hugh Jackman keeps the robots. It's like the robot garage in that movie. And it looks like a fire station. There's big giant doors that the fire trucks came in and out of.
But
you see some scenes.
It only opened the hotel,
A couple years ago. Yeah, they worked on it for a long time. So after, because it was a disused fire station, the Real Steel people like buffed it up and made it a movie locale. And then it started to become the Foundation. They also have a podcast studio in the Foundation where I guested and engineered and recorded a show for the legendary or infamous former guest of this show, Harry Arton, Barbarian.
Oh, my.
MC Sampler, Hortense, the hand puppet of low self-esteem, decided to do a podcast that I recorded in there. And they have a very cool podcast studio that looks out over the street.
Yeah.
It's all glass. And they have like some, you know, they got like some turntables in there and some vintage guitar looking shit.
By the way,
it's cool.
Of all the many failures that I and you individually and together have made.
Yeah.
We started this goddamned enterprise when no one knew what it was.
I know. To think of a hotel getting a podcast studio.
We could be running the hotel podcast studio.
I absolutely could.
We could have built a studio.
Mm-hmm.
And be charging every numbnut dipshit with a hot take on Star Wars.
Yeah.
money to run their podcast.
If you'd like to record at the Joel Radio Studios, send me an email at joelthecomic@gmail.com.
We could have called it the Finger Blast Studios or whatever.
If you'd like to record at Finger Blast Studios.
Yeah, exactly.
In beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. The sign is going up tomorrow, Corey, for...
at the Finger Blast Studios or the Hog Nailing...
All right, keep,
hot tub.
Who,
how about this? The hot tub studios.
Hot tub studios.
Hot tub studios.
Yeah, I got to work on that hot tub.
I'm just saying, we whatever we could have called it, we could have had our own podcasting network, yes. Been charging other dumb nuts and open micers to come out and do a podcast. Instead, we're sitting here in anonymity in the dark,
the air conditioned studios of jewelry,
in the same goddamn place we were
13 years ago,
smelling our own fumes. And every other schmegagin in the world is out there making money.
It happens.
Interns from other comedy shows have their own podcast.
All right. So then who you run into, you're at the foundation interviewing this fella.
Yeah.
Who do you run into, Corey Hall?
So on the way out at the bar, sitting with a blonde lady who I'm guessing was a producer.
Okay.
Is former BBC... television host and now what is it? Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
star of the great Grand Tour.
The Grand Tour,
formerly of Top Gear for many many years.
The most popular television show in the world.
One Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah,
sitting completely. Yeah, go ahead.
I like Jeremy Clarkson shows.
Sitting.
I like him on television.
Sitting completely unrecognized by anybody else. Okay, in the bar. Yeah. I don't. You know. I mean, okay, this is kind of how things work, though.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't have their antenna up.
Yeah.
I do. And Amy's always like, you're a super recognizer. But, like, anytime anybody, you know what I mean? I'll just
I think there's times and places to do that, you know.
Right. But, like.
And there's certainly people that will stand out in a way because they want to be recognized.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'll recognize people that nobody else will notice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, one time I was at Borders and Simon Jones... who's a British actor who's like a character actor,
mm-hmm.
most famous for playing Arthur Dent in the BBC Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy,
yeah.
was shopping.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing in here? And
he's right.
like, uh-huh. oh, my wife's got family here.
Well, you know.
And it was like, he was totally like, I can't believe you recognize me. Jeremy Clarkson, huge star.
Yeah.
And a giant gork.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy, like, sure, is yeah. hard to hide.
Yeah.
He was just sitting in a t-shirt at the, you know, sitting
okay.
at
so
table
you...
by the bar. So I spotted him, and, you know, I just went over. I gave it a minute or two, and then I was like, I just went over, and I'm like, hey, after all the shit you've talked about Detroit muscle cars, here you are sitting in Detroit.
Yeah, okay.
In a, like, friendly, jokey kind of mm-hmm. way. And he just kind of went, I was like, well, enjoy your stay. Like, looking at me like I, it basically like I had a flaming turd on my nose. And I'm just like, I'm fucking wearing a lanyard. I'm a member of the press.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just came out of an interview. I'm not like, you know what I mean? I'm not like a...
I think you got a experience that's pretty typical for him.
I would
in a
say,
way.
Though, okay, and you know this from... usually you and I meet people that are famous in the context
sure.
of working.
Yeah, usually. I ran into the E Street Band at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and,
sure.
you know, said hi to them. But
again,
yeah.
also because I have my antennas.
Well,
I have my antennas.
Depends where you
up.
Go, yeah.
Right.
At the foundation, on a media tour, you probably should.
Okay, but I'll run in. I'll see people on planes and stuff.
Yeah.
And 8 out of 10 times, mm-hmm. if I, and a lot of people I'll just let be.
Yeah.
But I do mm-hmm. like Top Gear and I like Jeremy. I'm not like the biggest fan in the world.
No, I would have said something to Jeremy Clarkson, and he would have been a dick to me too. So
I do like his stuff.
Yes.
I do find him entertaining, and I found that 8 out of 10 people that you run into,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I ran into Ernie Hudson in L.A. one
okay.
time. And
yeah,
like most people are gracious.
Yeah,
most celebrities that you run into, if you are like clear with them that you're a fan,
mm-hmm.
or that you know something about their work,
yeah.
Most of them, they're not going to be like, some of them would be real solicitous and be super nice.
Yeah.
Or some of them would be like, oh, thanks, man. Or whatever. Jeremy Clarkson grunted at me.
Yeah.
fucking asshole.
That's typical. I mean, I guess the thing, and we talked about it when he died.
I didn't even want a hand. I didn't even want like a hand job.
You didn't want. Yeah.
I just wanted to be like, huh, right, man.
Well, you didn't ask him for a photo or anything. You didn't,
no, I just stopped and went, hey,
yeah,
said something.
I know,
him.
Yeah.
And I just, all I was expecting was, oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck he could have done. Yeah. But he couldn't even do, he grunted like Frankenstein, like I was waving a torch at him.
Yeah. Well, they're taping the show here, and I sent you the article. I
fucking love Detroit.
Okay,
and
good for him.
You don't love Detroit enough to say hello to somebody who's...
Well, they're doing a segment for the Grand Tour with Hammond and May.
He might have been
the other two guys.
He might have been. Now, I bet if May or Hammond had been there,
oh yeah,
they would have been nice to me.
And Hammond loves Detroit cars,
yeah.
So Hammond's probably like a pig in shit.
He's
driving Challenger
always,
down.
He always likes
a closed
cars
street. Yeah,
they're probably driving some like. They're probably driving a, you know, a Stingray.
Well, they had photos on that article I sent you had the photos of all the
Shelby
cars.
GT.
Yeah, there was like Ford and Chrysler and Chevy's new muscle cars.
The Chevelle Super
they were
Sport,
driving those.
All that shit.
Really fast down Grand Boulevard, I guess. They closed off. So it was cool.
Them. Boy, you can't really drag race in Detroit either because the potholes will kill you.
Well, I don't know. So I always thought it'd be a good thing for them to like get a Lamborghini and try to drive down Mound Road and bottom that thing out the whole way. I thought that'd be a funny segment.
Well, they could go to Belle Isle or something and close that down.
I don't know what they're doing.
Well, so they were in town shooting. Jeremy Clarkson, don't go up and say hi to him because he'll grunt at you like a fucking caveman.
The one guy that I knew was going to be a grump, but I always wanted to say hi to him, was Marky Smith of the Fall. And I told that story. I went up to him after the show.
Yeah.
And I told him I enjoyed the show. And he said, thank you. And then he took his hand and beat me about my chest a couple of times as an acknowledgement.
Right.
And it was painful the way he actually hit me. And now he's dead. And I go, that's what you expect from Marky Smith. I want Marky Smith to be like, hey, thanks. And let's do a salute. And you want that asshole thing to do. But, you know, I mean, of wrestlers
Didn't get a Wesley Willis headbutt?
No, I didn't get that. But
it is,
you know, Jerry the King Lawler wasn't the nicest guy in the world, and I thought that's consistent with who he is.
Well,
and
you never know.
You know, Scott Steiner's an asshole, that's consistent with his reputation.
Scott Steiner's,
I've heard Scott Steiner, you know, has a reputation. And when I worked with Scott Steiner, I was super nice to Scott Steiner, but I was also like, I get why people aren't his, like, he has a bad reputation, and, you know, you can kind of tell. Here's the thing. When you're around a bunch of famous people, you can tell you can tell by how other famous people treat that famous person, how kind of likable they are.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird kind of thing like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know.
Look, conventions are a whole different thing, though, because they're trapped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're in a different environment. The real funny thing is that if you're at the convention and you're wearing a lanyard,
yeah,
like your crew or press or whatever, you get totally treated differently. And you know how this works.
Yeah.
As soon as you're a professional,
yeah,
it's a totally different world. If you're a fan that walks up off the street, they will treat you differently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But
yeah, I think, yeah, right. In when I'm working, like doing wrestling, those guys are way easier to deal with than as a fan. And, you know, wrestlers, I think, by and large, are really pretty nice guys.
Okay, Roddy Piper couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, he was super nice
to the crew.
I spent 6 hours with Roddy Piper, yeah, and he was great.
Yeah, he was at the Comic-Con, and I talked to him for a second, and he was super nice. But, like, Greg Valentine I've sat to next to for days at a time, and
he's got nothing to say. He's got nothing to say.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan, life of the party.
Sure.
Scott Steiner, huge asshole.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You never know.
Ted DiBiase was a good guy. I drove him to the airport and, you know, got to talk to him.
We've met a lot of... Yeah. All I'm saying about the Clarkson thing is I've met a lot of celebrities in my life. Generally not just... But I have had some encounters of just people I run into on the street. Most of them are nice.
I'm going to give you a celebrity tip. Not just for you, but for anyone listening.
I was on a plane back from L.A. with Emmanuel Stewart, the boxing coach.
Yeah.
And we started talking about boxing. And he, like... I was knowledgeable about it. And so we were talking about, like... Bernard Hopkins fight these boring ass fights. And we had this long talk about defensive
fighting. It's funny you say that, because my advice to people is to not ask them exactly what you... like, there's common things everyone's going to want to ask or talk about.
Tom Wilson.
And to not talk about those things is usually good. because that's what everybody talks to them about.
Sure.
So sometimes you just, like with Ted DiBiase, I was like, well, tell me about your family and, you know, what do you got, where you live?
Yeah, yeah.
And he told me about his ranch and his kids. And it was like, you know, he was just a guy telling me about his life. And he seemed really into that versus me asking him about, so you and Virgil in 1988 in WWF. I think he would have been bored talking about that or not,
right.
You know.
But
it was just,
I was asking Emmanuel Stewart about something contemporary that he talks about every day and had a knowledge level about it that was good. Anyway, Jeremy Clarkson was a prick.
That's okay. But that's what, I mean, it's like he's a guy that I think, you know, if you expect him to be a prick and he's a prick, then that's okay.
I wasn't expecting him to embrace me. But he could have been oh, thanks. You know, that was all the energy it took. Instead, he opted to like he was fucking White Fan from the Soupy Sales Show.
I mean, Gallagher being a dick,
you would expect nothing.
You would expect, but I think there's probably a point in history, and I didn't meet him at this point where you would have went like, boy, that Gallagher seems like a fun guy to hang around with. And he's not.
speaking of a celebrity I ran into who had a meltdown.
Did you see
Lisa Lampanelli?
You know what? I didn't even... I saw the article. I didn't watch the tape of her.
Oh, man.
Should I pull that up?
Yeah, pull that tape up.
All right, I'll pull it up.
Now, have you met Lisa, right?
I've never met Lisa Lampanelli, I don't think.
I've met Lisa.
Did you do a show with her?
She did the Magic Bag.
Okay, and you opened or you just went?
No, I just came and saw it. I can't even remember who opened for her.
I don't think I've never seen her at least.
I wasn't even on that show. I just came up and like, you know, I would open for a lot of people at the Magic Bag, but that one I just came up and watched. And I want to say maybe Jeff DeWaskin was on that show. Anyway, somebody we knew was there. Anyway,
well, it's 1:41 on TMZ.
It starts
you
don't have to hear the whole thing, but she starts off yelling at the guy, and you can watch it.
Okay, Lisa Lampanelli on stage nuclear meltdown. Fan hands her $100 to shut up. This is what we're about to hear. I don't know anything about but let's listen. Let's listen. If TMZ doesn't run an ad in front of this video, or whatever they're going to do here, it says it's queuing up. We've got this web video thing licked, don't we, Corey? That thing's 100. That's bulletproof right now, right?
Well,
web video?
You know, the incredible production staff that we have here.
Well, no, but I mean, it's just like you try to get this thing.
Every video you click on is going to behave in a different way,
it's
right?
So bizarre.
There's no uniform video standard, right?
Yeah, it's
sometimes
weird.
Sometimes there's an ad,
and then
sometimes
it's like
there's an intro.
When you click through on Google, they take you to a cache of the page and not the actual page. And then there's web versions of sites and there's desktop versions. So I was just on the web version, and that was not loading. So let me try the. See that this is so far. Oh, wait a minute. Here's something. Okay. There's security around her as this is happening.
Okay, first of all,
what a fun date night this seems like. A Lisa Lampanelli comedy show.
Fucking moron! Anyone who thinks I need any fucking help needs to shut the fuck up. Every one of you, I am talking to this. I didn't need your help with any of my life. I don't need it now. So shut the fuck up and let me have a conversation. Shut your fucking mouths. I'm just saying to be quiet, Stevie Nicks' retarded fucking cousin. One more fucking sentiment from anyone who isn't me and the person I'm talking to, and you can get the fuck out.
Wow, well, there you go.
Isn't that a great show?
Oh, just...
You're getting the TMZ.
This fucking TMZ website.
Oh, TMZ
my
bumper.
God.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, my God.
We almost got into a... Cardi B was at LAX.
Yes, we would
fucking,
have, I'm sure.
Fucking TMZ.
I'm sure Offset is up to something, Corey.
Ryder Strong from Boy Meets World was seen at Pink's eating a hot dog.
Oh, my God. Stop TMZ. It. Well, Lisa Lampanelli, I mean, look, I'm sure they're editing out her show, but, you know, it's... I think that's probably... For me, as an if I heard a comic doing that, there's no humor in what she's doing.
No.
And you're clearly lost whatever that thing you had where you're the performer and the audience is going to sit there and watch. You've kind of broken that down in a way that simply walking off the stage, as unhappy as it would have left them, yeah, probably was the way to handle this and not what she did. And... You know,
well,
you can't when you're dealing with a heckler and you go so hard on the heckler that the audience turns on you, then the heckler is won.
Well, first of all, she's super skinny now.
Yes.
And she's got her hair cut. She looked like she just got off the Bonnaroo stage. Or you know what I mean? Like
she has sort of a lesbian haircut,
yeah,
that's
right.
Green.
Shouldn't she be hanging out at, you know, a used bookstore?
The Lilith Fair or something?
Yeah. Like she's got this pink hair thing, and she looks like she's trying to be 20 years younger, 30 years younger.
She's, yeah,
than she is.
Right.
She's super skinny. I think she lost her edge.
Corey, I can't believe we're talking about the Queen of Mean.
I know.
In this way, but I...
She lost her... Okay, I think there's a couple problems for Lisa.
Yeah.
I think Mean is kind of out.
Well...
In the specific kind of super abrasive, mean, shouty... Well, Nick DiPaolo,
yeah,
Lisa Lampanelli.
And we talk about this
way.
When we talk about Howard Stern and sort of Opie and Anthony and that kind of ilk, I always kind of tell you, like, boy, that always strikes me as kind of sad now. When I hear, you know, like I hear Dave Landau's fight with that guy on,
yeah,
that show.
Sure.
And it's kind of like, hey, well, people are still listening to this.
Well, and there
people haven't had their fill,
no,
of this enough.
There's fans of that kind of stuff. Howard, yeah, definitely changed his whole...
And I think...
Howard's,
and I'm fine with that.
How he does
the
show,
and I'm fine with that. I get why he did that.
It's not beefs and feuds. There are some still,
yeah,
but they don't have the bite that they used to. And it's not those. Yeah, Opie and Anthony were like every day. It was like this fucking guy over here.
But I mean, Howard shouldn't be the guy. I'm fine with that stuff being on Howard, but I think the difference is now it's not Howard that's in the fight. If that makes sense,
most of the time he isn't.
And why should he be? Howard's getting, you know, Howard's,
well,
getting $100 million a year to do that stupid
now,
show 3 days a
Lisa
week.
Lisa Lampanelli is not getting $100 million,
no,
to do
but
a
she's
show.
She's fabulously wealthy.
Compared to you and me, I would,
yes,
you and I would take half of Lisa Lampanelli's bank account, split that in half again for us,
yeah,
then give away a half of that to everybody else in our families, and we'd be delighted with our,
well,
life,
but
right?
It's the thing with Lisa Lampanelli is Lisa Lampanelli is getting paid way for doing the same job essentially that you and I do, or Bill Bouchard does,
but
or Dave Landau
paid
does, is getting
thousands
paid,
of dollars,
well,
a night,
hundreds of times the money,
right,
that we're getting for essentially the same job. But for her, it's the job. I don't know that the job's gotten easier, and maybe the job's actually gotten harder as she's gotten more
I think
more
it's
famous.
Gotten harder.
And
I think losing the weight was a bad move career wise.
Well, it's
it was probably necessary for her health, but her act. Her
no.
shtick was the brassy fat chick.
Yeah.
She had kind of this, like, pompadoured up blonde hair.
Yeah.
This, like, she
was. It
was
kind,
like,
of a throwback 50s
like
housewife.
Kinda,
yeah,
and
yeah,
she was an asshole and talked, yeah, about licking black dicks. And, like, it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
I think that market has shifted a little bit.
Right.
She had a gay following, too, that was also a big deal. But,
yeah,
like, I don't know what her audience is. And some of those. Kathy Griffin. Who had whose,
yeah,
career, whose basically whole career was being a mean girl to celebrities.
Yeah.
People lost a little bit of a taste for that.
Yeah.
Now I think she got the treatment she got over the Trump,
well,
thing was stupid.
I don't know that people lost a taste for it, but I think what happened is that the society in general is so mean that there's nothing unique about Kathy,
right,
Griffin or Lisa Lampanelli,
right,
anymore, that you can't just fire up Twitter and get some guy in his bedroom
doing the same thing.
And
those acts were kind of hot 10 years ago.
Right.
At the end of the Bush administration,
mm-hmm,
when I think people wanted this, like, we want honesty and blunt talk because we've been lied to,
yeah,
by the Bush administration.
Sure.
Then there was kind of an adjustment with Obama and people didn't know what the fuck to do,
yeah,
for a while with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, comedy does change styles and modes, and things come in and out. And the Lisa Lampanelli aggressive, asshole-y barking style went away.
Yeah.
She got so she was very nice to me.
Yeah.
Until I made a crack.
Yes, I you may have told this story on the show, but please continue.
And I'm sorry, I can't remember who I did not. I was not on that show. But once in a while, I'd go watch a show.
Sure.
Cause the,
I know the essence of the story.
Because Jeremy, the owner of the Magic Bag, was a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I went and watched her show. And she did a good show. And then we were like talking after, you know, hanging out with the comics after the show. And I was talking to her. And she had her books and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think the fans had all been through. And she had a copy of Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector on the counter. And I didn't realize
that she's in that.
I didn't realize she was in it because I didn't see. Because
that's hard to believe.
The studios didn't screen Larry the Cable Guy movies. The whatever, what was that Larry the Cable Guy in the Army?
You want me to look this up or is it? Yeah, go ahead. You keep talking.
I never saw Health Inspector.
I'll give you the Larry the Cable Guy.
Okay, resume. The studio didn't. This is the extent the studio didn't screen these for the critics.
Yeah,
I had to go to a theater where they were testing the print. This was before digital.
Yeah.
And I had to watch Larry the Cable Guy in the Army or Up Your Ass or whatever it was. Larry the Cable Guy farting grenades. Woo! Get her done.
Well, you tell me. Okay, so I'm going to give you.
What year was that?
You keep talking. I'm going to try to give you because it's great. The filmography is amazing. Okay, so.
So I didn't realize she's in Health Inspector.
Okay, so Health Inspector was 2006.
Yeah.
And. Let's see. The other that might have been his first themed movie like that, because later became Larry the Cable Guy in Delta Farce.
That's the one.
Witless Protection.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the ones that aren't. Help. I think those were his.
That's the core trilogy.
Well, then there's stuff like Tooth Fairy 2 and Jingle All the Way 2, where they took some property and made a bad sequel. But the rest of it is like comedy specials.
Yes.
So it seems like for about 2 years, Larry the Cable Guy was the new Pauly Shore.
Right.
Or the new Ernest or something. Or
Kevin
whatever
James. Before Kevin James.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're always looking
so,
for
so
a
buffoon. So you tell her.
So I just was like goofing around. I was like, oh, can you sign this? I want to frame it for my bedroom. And she got fucking, she's like, you know what? You want to think it's cool to shit on Larry, but he's cool to me. You're just fucking bitter because you're a fucking comic. Oh, you know what? Actually, I think I might have even interviewed her.
Mm.
That's probably what it was. I think I interviewed her for the paper.
Yeah.
And then I came to the show. Mm. And anyway, I have to look in my archives. But I'm pretty sure I did interview her. That's what it was.
Okay.
So I went up and I was like, and she knew, I was like, oh yeah, I interviewed you. I'm also a comic.
Yeah.
She's like, well, you're a comic who just writes on the side.
Ah.
And fuck you. And
fuck
she
you.
Got, she got
Corey.
Mad. Yeah. She
fuck
got,
you, you fat fuck.
She got mad at me because I goofed on Larry the Cable Guy.
Yes.
And by the way, when comics get mad at you for goofing,
yes.
You're a fucking comic.
Yes.
This is what I have to say. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yes.
And this happens all the time. Comics get their pussies hurt.
Right.
And Lisa actually has a vagina, so God bless her. But a lot of comics get their pussies bruised when you make a joke, and you're like, you're a comic. That's your fucking thing, right?
I have a news story. Apparently, Susie Essman just yelled at the guy at the dry cleaner. Should we want to play that tape, or is that not?
But that was
no,
a pretty,
I made that,
that
up.
Was a pretty bad meltdown.
Sure, yeah. That's that is a bad. And again, you're only seeing. You're not hearing what the guy said. You're not. It's completely out of context.
Didn't Margaret
they edited
Cho,
together
Margaret Cho
stuff.
Had a, Margaret Cho had a meltdown where she cleared out the room.
Yeah.
Then she had to go back and bring Jerry Seinfeld with her
to
appease the crowd.
If you wanted to find me on stage doing shit that a comic shouldn't be doing and being mean to an audience member or something, if you pasted together 19 years of my stand-up and you could find 3 minutes of that, sure, it's
there
in there.
There was a night at the late lamented Joey's Comedy Club in Livonia where there was a bachelorette party sitting directly to the right of me on the table up front.
Yeah.
And they were being terrible.
Yeah.
And they were talking and some girl said something and I went, you know, it's my life's dream to entertain you and your fat fucking friends. And that fucking
they'll turn on you. I mean,
ugly
it
in there. And I, as I said it, I realized I was killing myself because it was going to just destroy the room.
Yeah, it's.
But
You know, it's one of those things where you got to read the room, and it happens so quickly that you never really know. And, you know, because, and this is what I...
Most of my meltdowns were at open mics.
Yeah.
I maybe had one or two incidents where I was being paid.
Yeah, no, no. That's, for me, it was Club Bart, mostly, where you would have found these things.
95% of it was
a couple
at
of, it was
open
a couple
mics.
Of road things. Pestos and Grand Blanc. I won't talk about that one, but it happened. but, you know, it's you... I mean, that's why I tell new comics, when a heckler yells something, ignore it. Because you're going to go off on that guy, and you don't have the ability to understand what's going too far. I mean, there's stock lines that you'll learn. You can throw one of those out. Usually those work. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're bringing the guy into the show. You can come off as an asshole, like you see with Lisa Lampanelli here. It's almost like, you know...
I mean, the guy was being a dick.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was being a dick, but yes. Lisa lost her mind on it.
Yes.
And it just, you don't come off... As a comedian, your job is to entertain the crowd.
Yes.
And that seems to be a mission lost on a lot of comics.
I will say this, though. As much as we've, I don't know, we've spent a good 10 minutes of this show bagging on her, I think Lisa Lampanelli is on balance a good comedian and talented.
I'm not
calling her shitty or anything.
No,
I mean, just because for 2 minutes that TMZ finds you went off on a guy doesn't mean the other hour were on stage wasn't great. Probably not the greatest night, but every night's different.
I've seen her perform,
but,
and she is a good comic.
Yeah,
I was just saying that I think there's a reason why her act. The style is a little out of fashion.
Let me tell the audience a thing about comedy.
Yeah.
Let me tell the audience something. Not every night in a comedian's life, no matter how successful or how big they are and as much of a fan of you are of them, not every comedy show that a comedian performs, name the biggest comics in the world, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, whoever, not every night they
Chappelle
walk
had
on
a
stage,
meltdown in Detroit.
But not every night they walk on stage is the HBO special.
Right.
It's not the Netflix thing. That is a television show created from a live performance.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when comics do a show, there's a heckler, there's an asshole. Somebody drops a plate of drinks in the middle of the fucking thing.
Things happen.
Mics go out. It's too hot in the room. It's, comics trying to make it through check drop. All kinds of bullshit happens. Mm-hmm. It's harder than you think. No comic, whoever you think the greatest comedian in the world is not as good as you think he is. I'm not saying comics aren't great,
right.
But to sit here and act like every
Dave Chappelle had a meltdown in Detroit,
but
that was huge.
Not every show that somebody does is going to blow you away in the same way that that thing that you saw on television that made you a fan is going. In all likelihood, it will not be that good when you see those people live, because what you saw live is not a real thing that happened. It's a television show. And it doesn't mean that those guys suck. I'm not saying that. It's just not what you think it is. And that's an illusion, like all television is. And
speaking of television and big, brassy, controversial women.
Oh, my God.
Who got in trouble.
We got so much to get to. I don't know if we have.
Since the last show we did.
Yes.
This has been covered, but I think Roseanne lost her shit.
Yes.
And here's the bottom line on the Roseanne thing. Maybe don't go on Twitter if you're over 50. Maybe don't go on Twitter if you're under 50. I'm just saying that there's no good if you are worth $100 million.
Yeah.
No good comes from you being on Twitter.
I think once you get the show,
get off the Twitter.
Look, people say, you know, use social media to promote your brand and promote the things that you're doing. Once you're on a network television show in prime time and that ink is drying the contract, I'm not sure what point there is to even be doing that at that point.
Now, did you see Tom Arnold?
Yes, I know.
We've both run into
with Tom Arnold.
We both run into Tom Arnold.
I like Tom Arnold as a guy. I thought he was a swell guy.
Yeah, and he was nice enough. I've run into him a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Arnold, though, got on CNN and, like, was basking in the reflected glory of being right for one time in his life.
Right? Look, there was a lot of...
A nation turned its weary eyes to Tom Arnold, he spoketh from the mountain.
In 1993... That was two drug-addled people who didn't know what the fuck they were doing. And, you know, history is maybe now showing that Tom Arnold
was in the one who had it together.
And somehow, by now, it looks like Tom Morello together. Trust me, neither of those people.
Oh, because back then, everybody hated Tom Arnold.
Everyone hated Tom Arnold. And like, and look at this. I know. Well, it's
look at this tubby, no talent hump that's sucking on Roseanne's titty for his career.
Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown. Everyone thought Bobby Brown was the crazy person that was on drugs in that relationship. And I'm not saying Bobby Brown wasn't a crazy person that was on drugs. I'm not saying Bobby Brown's not a crazy person that's on drugs right now.
Nor.
But Whitney Houston was not what you thought she was.
Nor are we saying Tom Arnold wasn't a crazy person on drugs.
No.
We're just saying by degrees.
Yeah, exactly. Don't, you know, I mean.
Tom was like, he was making good points.
Yeah.
He went on with Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
And he was like, I knew this was going to happen when she got the show.
Yeah.
He was like, I think she did it intentionally because she didn't want the pressure of the show.
Yeah.
And he said he called her daughter.
Yeah.
Who had been his stepdaughter, you know.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he called her daughter, he called Roseanne's daughter and was like, take the phone away from her. Now, that could be revisionist history.
Yeah. It's
but he's not wrong.
You know, when you're her, whoever's handling her, and who knows who she allows to even handle her, should be like, we're going to get a social media guy, and he's going to run your thing, and it's going to sound like you, but, and you can write the things that we put up, but you got to go through this guy. And that would have prevented what happened.
But, you know, much like Tony Bourdain told us he was a moody, depressed, punk rock, edgy, antisocial alcoholic with, you know, dark, morbid fantasies for his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Roseanne told us she was crazy for the last 25 years. Remember when she used to get in trouble for things like having lesbian makeouts on her show and stuff.
You're right. Well, didn't she bake cookies as Hitler?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, my good friend was an editor of that magazine, which was called Hebe.
Hebe
which
magazine.
Was a Jewish hipster culture magazine.
Yes.
And that was that was a real edgy bit, but it was intended as a joke.
Corey, get your arm off my pile of Hebe magazines that I have stacked up in the studio, Corey. Please, they're very valuable.
Yeah. If you wanted interviews with Adam Goldberg, if you wanted intense coverage of the Beastie Boys,
your coffee mug is leaving a ring on my Hebe magazine.
The
Corey.
Hebrew Hammer. That's where you could have read it. Anyway, but that at least was okay. I thought that was in bad taste, but it was at least an attempt at a joke. The thing she did on Twitter wasn't even a joke.
Yeah.
It was like this feeble fucking...
That was bad in any way. And she's blaming Ambien.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And I've taken Ambien.
Yeah.
And Ambien's kind of crazy. I'm not making an excuse for her. But Ambien will make you do... Like, here's what you do with Ambien. You take the Ambien.
Yeah.
And you've got about 30 minutes...
Till it kicks in.
To find the bed. And that's what you should do. And if you find the bed, you lay down, you fall asleep, you have a great night's sleep on Ambien, you wake up feeling refreshed, you're not groggy or anything. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you take the Ambien and you stay up, Corey,
you're going to have problems.
You could do some fun stuff. It's great.
Yeah.
It's like you're drunk. You're out of your mind. You're drunk instantaneously. It's like you drank 6 beers. It's fucking fantastic. You have sex on Ambien. It's unbelievable. You watch movies and TV shows or listen to music. It's fantastic. I took an Ambien and watched Katy Perry music videos for 30 minutes. It was wonderful. That's how powerful that drug is.
What?
I don't know. They're very colorful, and I don't know. I watched Katy Perry videos on Ambien.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't drive on Ambien. You know, it if you do something, and look, if you're going to be a world famous celebrity, who, you know, if whatever, look, I'm not saying Ambien makes you make bad jokes about somebody's ethnicity on Twitter, but if you ever, whatever part of your brain that tells you to not do that, Ambien may actually turn that off. I'm not saying it's making you racist, all right. But there's a governor on your brain that goes, I'm not going to put this on social media, and Ambien can cause that to... Would I watch Katy Perry videos for 30 minutes normally? No, I would go, this is dumb. Why am I watching these? But on Ambien, it seemed like a good idea.
Well, you know, in the movie The Swamp Thing, they're like the serum enhances what you really are inside.
Yeah, okay.
The guy loved plants, and so he turned into a tree monster. And Bill Cosby's like, the marijuana enhances your personality. Mm-hmm. But what if you're an asshole? Whatever.
That's cocaine. I didn't
even do a bad Cosby.
Yeah.
But I find the Ambien and or the Mel Gibson drunk defense.
Yes.
To be a little fraudulent.
Well, it is fraudulent. It is fraudulent. I'm not saying Ambien doesn't.
I've never done
Ambien causes you to make poor decisions. Absolutely. That's no doubt, but it doesn't make you racist.
Right. I have never done Ambien.
Yeah.
But I've done psychotropic drugs.
Okay.
I've done prescription drugs that I wasn't supposed to do.
Yeah.
I've done booze and drugs.
Well.
And I'll tell you what, as high or drunk or whatever as I've ever been in my life, at no point did I go, the Jews start all the wars.
But,
I never do that.
Well, why do we take drugs? To do dumb stuff. I mean, that's why they exist.
Okay.
Or to make you feel a certain way.
Okay, now the other thing,
well, but,
the thing that I found incomprehensible about the fucking Roseanne thing. Valerie Jarrett, you're that mad at Valerie Jarrett. Like, what
Who
was like an aide? She was like an aide to the Obamas.
I wanted to know what Valerie Jarrett did. I Wikipedia'd Valerie Jarrett. I learned all about Valerie Jarrett. I still have no idea why Roseanne's mad at Valerie.
Right.
I'm guessing Valerie Jarrett has some social media thing and she said something or somebody. My guess is there's probably some Alex Jones asshole who hates Valerie Jarrett.
Right.
Roseanne read that and then Roseanne is parroting what those people say.
Roseanne was into, by the way, this whole thing was not, like I said, not unpredictable because she was into... She was talking about Pizzagate.
Yeah.
Which was where Alex Jones said that there was a child sex labor dungeon under a pizza parlor run by Hillary Clinton, and a guy went in with a shotgun to rescue people. I mean, it's
but she didn't she believe in trauma actors or what do they call that?
Which Alex Jones is getting sued
over.
Yeah,
those guys, you know,
Sandy Hook.
David Hogg is an actor.
She
and
was
all this
buying
stuff,
into all this garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying. I've never done enough mushrooms or LSD or anything to be like.
No. I mean, look, clearly Roseanne is a person that clearly has a
the
problem.
The Mexicans
with
are
Valerie
drinking your blood
but,
through
but,
a straw.
But it's you know, I mean, when I hear that, I go, this is not Roseanne's original thoughts about Valerie Jarrett that she came up with on her own. She read something that she believed, and that's most of what
and the plan,
crazy
the,
people do, Corey.
The calling an African-American has something to do with the...
It was Planet of the Apes.
Right.
That was
making
the,
a
that
gorilla
was
reference to an African-American has a long story tradition in our culture. I couldn't get the Muslim Brotherhood reference and what that had to do with fucking
I mean,
anything.
She was born in Iran, but is that... Make
She's
her,
an American.
She is an American,
much
yes.
like John McCain was born in the Panama Canal, right? Or whatever. No, he was. It's, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's these things where it's like,
I know, yes.
Your dad was in the Air Force, so
I
you were
know.
Born
well,
in Japan.
Whole,
so clearly you're a squinty eyed Jap. It's like, what are you fucking talking about?
Well, it's the whole Obama birth. It's the
thing. Right.
Which, you know, was Trump's, which is so, I don't know if it's ironic, but the fact that that's, you know.
Obama was born in a Nairobi suburb called Honolulu. It's just this fucking, you know, it's like this lunacy that goes on. Roseanne just was crazy all along.
Yeah.
And this,
But I mean,
it's sad that she was having another shot at success, and blew it for all the people that were working on the show.
All the people that worked for
but
her.
John Goodman's going to be fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
Johnny Galecki already had a show.
Yeah.
He doesn't need that. Johnny Galecki's made more money to stand there and go.
Is Johnny Galecki on that show?
Yeah.
Oh,
he was only on one episode.
Oh, okay.
But he was on the original Roseanne.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I mean, he's on the new show.
He came on and did
he came
episode.
On
yeah,
the
yeah.
new show. Yeah, Johnny Galecki's like fuck you.
Well, he's,
Johnny Galecki's got fuck you money at this.
He
point.
He stood there with a coffee mug and went, really, Sheldon?
Yeah.
For fucking 12 years
yeah,
now.
I know. Well, good for
and
him.
And made $800 million.
Good for him. Fuck all those guys.
I think you're referring to Nichelle Nichols.
Well,
Lieutenant
I mean,
O'Hara.
Look, the shit didn't splash on him then when this all went down.
No.
You know, there's no residue on him, no blood on his hands in this thing. And,
well,
and really nobody else. But Rose, you know, look, Roseanne's, you know, you're going to.
It was going to happen eventually.
Well, Lunatic people. Went,
woman.
Well, I remember when the show came. I think we didn't talk about it on the show just because of the timing of when we were doing it. But I think I said to you in private conversation when that show came back and it was like number one in the ratings or whatever it did. And it was like this big hit. And I said, I'm not starting watching Roseanne now. Right. That was my feeling on that show. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, I'm not going to start now.
Right. Sure.
And I know, like, Norm Macdonald was writing for that show, and they, mm-hmm. they had hired some good Wanda Sykes, I know, quit over this or whatever, before ABC took the show away. So they had some good people working on that show, so... Yeah.
If they bring back Tim Allen's show, I'm not...
Isn't that happening? Isn't Fox going to do that?
Probably, because they canceled that and there was an
uproar. I think Fox
wants that. By the way, not going to watch it still.
No, yeah, exactly.
Wasn't watching before, not going to watch it now.
It can't get that hot or I'm going to finally go, okay.
I didn't watch Kevin Can Wait, the Kevin James show.
All right. We got to get to... We can segue our way into movies by talking about it. And look... If you heard our Star Wars Solo review, which was the last show we did, if you saw Solo, you could, even if you didn't see Solo and you don't want spoilers, you can listen to the first 20 minutes or so of that and you'll get it. But one of the things we did in our review of Solo is we talked, I revisited Last Jedi because I had watched it the week before because my girlfriend wanted to see it before I met Solo, but anyway. And talking about the character of Rose in Last Jedi and why it was terrible and, you know, how it really... was one of the worst, you know, one of the two or three worst things about that movie, and I don't want to say ruined it, but certainly that movie would have been better to have her not in it as a character, while never dissing the actress, Kelly Marie Tran, in any way, but we definitely criticized that as one of the elements that made Last Jedi less than successful to us in a critical sense.
She didn't add much to the movie, I'll tell you that.
She didn't add much, and the character just felt like it was... kind of a tokenism, and
it was a weak character.
The stuff they had her do was lame in the movie as well. So anyway, this past week, the Star Wars trolls finally got to Kelly Marie Tran, and she deleted her social media accounts. I guess because people are dumping on her. Now, why they're dumping on her?
Now, I never went to Kelly Marie Tran's Instagram.
No, and we did the podcast and criticized what they did with her in the film, but we never criticized her personally.
I never read...
We never made fun of her ethnicity or her weight or anything.
We might have, but the point is...
You might have. I didn't, I don't think.
But the point is, I never would have ever in my life thought, and I don't think... Okay, sometimes I will respond to people on Twitter.
Yeah.
Lately, Dennis Miller has been putting up these sad fucking broken attempts at a joke, and I've kind of goofed on him a few times. But I would never be like... You know, I really, let me go on this girl's account and call her Ching Chong Ching Chong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would just never, that's just ridiculous. Like,
do you hyphenate that? Or
yeah.
How do you do? Okay, I don't know.
Dashes.
It's a dash. Yeah, sure.
But you know, like, I don't know what they were, I never read any of the comments.
Yeah, I don't know what the comments were.
I can imagine
were.
They
oh
weren't
my
good.
Oh, God, yes.
Because the comments are generally full of garbage vile trash.
The world's become a comment section.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. The world has just become people commenting on other people in a negative way, largely. I mean, even when it's in a positive way, but I don't know. People are they're living. But if people also stopped living by positive social media and stopped living by likes and using that as a value of their worth, then maybe the negativity would not hurt as much. And I think that's a lesson there as well.
As a pioneer of negativity,
yes.
I mean, I was doing this shit.
Mr. Negative.
I was doing this shit in the 90s. My argument has always been, like, if somebody starts some nonsense on Twitter or Facebook, I will go as far. This is how, and my wife is like, you are the dirtiest fighter. Like, like we don't have a lot of fights, but I will.
Right.
My point is, if we're having a conflict, I will bloody you.
Yeah.
And I will throw the biggest haymakers. So usually on those things online, I will just, like, viciously smoke somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they don't know they're being smoked, but it's just, it gets ugly. Everybody's got to trump each other. Everybody's got to one-up each other. Not even referencing the president, but...
But I think there's a thing, and maybe you're above this outside of the show, but I think the thing... And then look, the show has been negative on tons of people. We busted Guy Fieri's big, fat, blonde balls for 30 minutes today, okay? We did that. And I'm not putting it down, but the thing is we've picked a venue which isn't the Guy Fieri fan club. It's not his own social media. We have created a show where people can come listen to us that is not in any way connected or related to him or any project that he works on to be critical. we've picked sort of this third party venue that isn't reflecting on him. We're not standing outside Guy Fieri's door and calling him a fat hump.
Okay, but
I think the case with
Kelly Marie Tran is that she didn't like go on Twitter and say something horrible.
No.
You know,
yeah.
I will respond to people who behave poorly.
Yeah.
Or say something ignorant or stupid or, you know, do some dumb thing. She didn't do anything.
No, she didn't do anything.
In the movie, and she didn't write the character.
No.
She didn't. And so these fucking idiots that are, you know, I'll show her.
Yeah.
And throw all this sexist and
I mean, look, I think
whatever garbage at her.
But I'm also
it doesn't make any sense.
I'll also defend the I'm going to defend the right of people. If you want to call Kelly Marie Tran every racist thing in the book and make fun of her weight and whatever, I think you should be free to do that. I will die or kill to defend your right to do that. I don't think you should be doing that on her Instagram. I think you can pick your own show.
Well, don't.
And what's going to happen is the fat guy, the I Hate Kelly Marie Tran, Kelly Marie Tran is a fat chink podcast, is going to get like 3 downloads. That's what's going to happen with that.
That's our new name.
No, it's like
we're going to change the name of the
Check for the domain, Corey. See if it's available. But listen, here's the point. No, but if you're going to create that show, I think that's fine, and I think you should be able to do that, and I'm not criticizing that, but you realize you're going to get... And so what happens is these people that have the trollish mentality go, where can this have the most impact? Where can this hurt the most people?
Really,
and this you're right to their site and do that, and I think that is
ultimately
wrong.
The really...
I think you have to have some ethic... Look, you want to be a hater, that's fine, but have your ethics, pick your venue for it, and do it. That's why, you know, if you don't like a comedian or you don't like a band, you don't go to their concert and tell them they suck. I think that's wrong, too.
I have, you know, obviously been accused a lot of times of hate watching.
Okay.
But I think there's a difference between criticizing and, like, the Star Wars guys hate Star... Like, YouTube is just populated with... Currently, there's, like, a couple tracks of... these guys that are hating, they hate the comic book industry.
Yeah.
They're comic book fans that are mad that there's a bunch of women and every comic is a minority.
Yeah.
And you know what? I watch some of these videos and some of them have very valid points about if you market your book to Latino transgender women from Guatemala, that's a market that's not going to sell a million books.
Yeah.
And when the comic book then flops and fails and it was poorly written to begin with, Marvel went and hired a bunch of young adult authors to write the comics who'd never written comics before, and then the books all failed.
Yeah.
Well, they're right to criticize that.
But
when they make it all about the gender or the identity or whatever, it gets ugly. This woman, I didn't like the character either. I thought
it was terrible.
It was kind of this like Mary Sue. I thought all the characters in Last Jedi were fucked.
Yeah,
most of them.
Yeah, we did this.
Laura Dern came in what was her character?
I think that the people that make that, in specifically in this case Star Wars, know how much Maz Kanata was in Last Jedi. Very little, because the response to her was negative in, you know, Force Awakens. The response to Jar Jar Binks was so negative in that first prequel that they really sort of phased him out. He made very brief appearances in the other movies. And so I think that we'll probably see less Rose in the next one. But that's not the way to achieve it. And that's just being a dick. That's just purely
the internet is
being a hate-filled dick.
Yes.
And not a critic in a sense. But like I was saying, look, if you want to criticize these people, create something. Create a space for your opinion and see where that goes.
Although,
and I'm fine with that. I think that's what makes free speech great, is that we all have that, but the venue is wrong.
I will say this, though. This goes conversely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, I'm not going to pretend it's an equivalent problem, but there are all these alt-right guys that are saying awful stuff. I think the majority of them aren't. I think the majority of these Star Wars fans aren't actually racist or political to the degree that you would think. They probably are a little leaning in that direction, but like they're not diehard, you know, conservatives. But the other side, the woke police, who are grading exactly how conscious you are of every single ethnicity and every transgressional behavior and every way you microtransgressions and all that shit, they're fucking choking the life out of themselves as well.
Yeah.
In that the first easiest thing you can do is if someone disagrees with what you're doing, or they don't like the comic book that you wrote, or they don't like that you made all the Star Wars characters into mush puddle millennials, is that they will then call you a racist.
No, that's true.
You're an angry old white
man. Well, yeah, because you can...
That gets too reflectively easy.
You can criticize that Rose character without ever talking about her ethnicity or her weight. And there's plenty of valid criticisms of what she does in that movie and why that makes the movie not as good as it could have been that have nothing to do with race.
And I see dumb... Yeah. I see these insane arguments all the time, like, white people are the worst and they're the racists. And it then leads to this notion that, like, no other... do you know any place on the planet, any society that's ever existed, when there are 4 Peruvians and 1 Guatemalan, who's getting picked on?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, okay.
There's this fucking insane premise that no other race, culture, society is racist.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to say to you this. Ask an Indian about the Pakistanis.
Yeah, exactly.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely.
People will find ways to pick each other apart all the time. Don't go on an actress's Instagram and shit on her, though. That's a basic life skill.
Japan, a hugely racist place.
Yes.
By and large.
All of the other Asian countries have issues with each other or whatever. There's a
Westerners
hierarchy.
Just because we're out of the social context of that,
Jesus Christ, the Brits, the fucking Welsh and the Scottish and the Irish hate the British.
Yes.
And they're all the same fucking thing.
There they are. It's just, you know, I mean, part of me, and again, I'm not trying to explain anything away here, but, you know, racism or bias or hating people that have more than you or people insulting the successful people, I believe is human nature. I think it's psychology. And I'm not saying that excuses anyone's behavior, but I think that history has shown us at every turn to be that. In the world, that is how people deal with other people. That is their default. I mean, wars, people, there's been bloodshed over things that make people shut their Instagram accounts now. And part of me says, yeah, I think we have evolved. If it's not people shooting each other in the face over.
Yeah, sure.
You know, why is there a Korean lady in Star Wars? Then I think that's okay on some level. Even though it's idiotic, I also understand that thing will be there. And I think if the internet or, you know, social media has given anything, is that it's given people a platform that should be completely meaningless. And people have imparted meaning to a thing that didn't exist before. And people care too much about that.
Tribalism is kind of an innate wired process of human culture, right?
Yeah.
You pick who is your tribe, mm-hmm. who is your neighbor, who's your friend, and that's not gonna ever really get out of the way.
No, and
but you're right in that I think we are in a better place.
Yeah.
It's not
sure.
It's not as much as people don't want to think we are.
Yeah.
But
the perception of it the perception of it has never been lower when in fact it's actually better.
Right. And we're all agreed. You're not, guys, by the way, you're not breaking ground with your tweets and your Facebook posts.
Right.
When you're like, hey, racism's bad.
Yeah.
You're really not breaking ground, guys. We got that.
And there's been people.
But you are doing damage when you start going into this insane subcategorization of every single minor difference between people having to be a target of offense, or you're not respecting me as a blue-eyed Latina. You know, it's like a fucking insane subcategorization, which then brings all of the differences that you're trying ostensibly to ignore or get past. You're then highlighting them again.
Well, the attempt by people to solve social injustices by using social media is actually creating more of that.
Right.
It's, you know, you're throwing fuel on the fire, even if you're completely right.
Well, when you're like, racism is bad and all white men are bigots.
Yeah.
There's kind of a problem in your contradictory statement you're making there.
I mean, some people should just be left... some people with minority opinions should be left to those minority opinions, and the majority shouldn't be highlighting those. Because I don't think that that gets rid of,
But
I think the world, there is a certain, when you attacked the Charlottesville protesters, the way that, and look, Charlottesville protesters, a complete group of assholes. But to a certain people,
you're saying the response to
the
them
response
a bigger
to them
response, yeah.
just creates more of that.
Well, in terms of,
I don't think that's a good thing. Ignore those people.
Richard Spencer, there he came to Michigan State, who's the white nationalist fucking moron who got punched.
Yeah.
At the other route, anyway, at the DC protest, and he had a big rally in Michigan State, and there was a massive protest against him speaking there. And inside the inside his speaking were like 150 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know if he would have gotten a bigger crowd if there had been a protest or people were scared off.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I mean? Yeah, one way or the other. I don't know.
I think the problem is in an individual's mind, you're doing the right thing by saying, hey, this is wrong. But in mass, you're actually doing the wrong thing. I mean, at your own personal thing, you're going, this is my social media. I'll use it for this because I believe in it. But you're not unique. There's 20 fucking million people just like you. And, well, you know.
By the way, there's nothing unique about being a Star Wars fan.
No, but yeah.
That's mainstream culture.
Right.
But the fans are the ones inside this wildly mainstream pop culture creation who then want to be jihadists about it or you know, treat it like scripture or some shit. And those are the people that are nuts. Those are the people that are kooks.
All right, let's get into some more movie stuff. We talk about Star Wars. We both saw Deadpool 2. It was good, right?
That's about all I got to say about
it. That's it. We'll move on.
It's fine.
It's fine. Look, superhero movies are fast food. They taste good when you're in there.
And,
it's fine. But
what's the way to say this? Deadpool is the rallies of fast food. Comic book movies.
But I mean, you know, tell me about the last McDonald's French fries.
Checkers.
You had, Corey.
Yeah.
Tell us about them. They were fine.
You know,
you don't really remember them.
Deadpool had it had some clever, cute stuff in it.
It did. And that's what that series is now known for. And
what's fun about that is it does the Mad Magazine marginalia meta jokes where they comment, they break the fourth wall and make jokes about other franchises and stuff. Some of that was funny. The end credit stuff was funny.
Well, the kid from Hunt for the Wilder People was the kid in that, which was great. If you never saw that movie, go see Hunt for the Wilder People. It's great. Taika Waititi's movie, and that kid was the star of that, and I think that's on Netflix. So anyway,
in the comic
see that
book,
where you can.
In the comic
good.
Books,
that's
by
good.
The way, that character looks like Ron Howard. He's like a red hair.
So, do you think to get
kid.
Some little New Zealand?
All I know is
Kiwi
another white guy lost his job.
Right. Well, he's a little Maori or something, isn't he? That kid.
Yeah, sure.
People from
the kid wasn't the best part of the movie.
No, but he did a fine job.
He was okay. Yeah,
it was. You know, Deadpool is. If you like Deadpool, you'll like Deadpool 2.
There was a big argument about Deadpool not being gay. Meanwhile, there was a lesbian couple depicted in Deadpool. Completely nonchalantly, and it wasn't an issue.
No.
Yeah, right?
Was there?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Absolutely. I've literally almost forgotten.
And by the way, nobody, and you know what? There, like I said,
Deadpool.
Right. I'm just saying, there was a lesbian couple.
Yeah.
And it wasn't an issue, and nobody cared, and it wasn't even a thing.
No.
Yeah. But people had to be like still being mad about the movie not representing
but,
gay
you know,
people.
It's funny, you know, Deadpool apparently, you know, lost directors and they did that whole thing in the middle of it. And not a lot of people criticize. Star Wars fans are unique in that way, aren't they?
Oh, God.
You know?
Well, Solo did also have a big directorial shift.
Right.
And it damaged the product, I think.
Right, but it's weird that it did, in a sense. You kind of went from two guys who weren't really known for making that A-list stuff in the classic 80s blockbuster style, which Star Wars really is the product of, and you went to a guy who's sort of one of the masters of that style, and it still got criticized, which is sort of weird, isn't
well,
it?
Well, speaking of fans course correcting, though, you're right about that. I think
moving to Ron Howard should have made that movie more what
fan
Star
appeal,
Wars fan
right,
wanted,
right.
Which to me it did, and I thought Solo was fine,
sure.
But you know, hey.
But you can't keep these
like if you had fired Ron Howard and hired Lord Miller fucking, the internet has blown up. Your house is now a fire. The wire going into your house that brings you the internet has caught on fire.
Well,
get out your garden hose. Your house is aflame right now.
There are Zack Snyder partisans in the DC universe, and those movies suck. We saw Batman.
So when they went
Superman.
To Joss Whedon,
yes.
When they fired him and went to Whedon, who was the king of that?
Yes. And
people are mad about that?
There are fanboys.
And nobody really liked that Justice League movie, I don't think. I never saw it, but.
No, but there were
but
fanboys.
We couldn't say
they
it
were
either.
Like, you tampered with Snyder's vision. These fucking guys. These fucking internet guys are ridiculous.
So that was Deadpool 2. I saw that at the drive, and I also saw A Quiet Place.
I didn't see it.
There, which was, you know, which is good, and it's a monster movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is unique in that it is, you know, the premise is.
The monsters look like Lisa Lampanelli. And they're very loud, so you have to keep quiet during their whole show.
There's a point where John Krasinski gives the monsters $100 to leave. It's amazing. But here's the thing. You know, it's a very good movie, and it's thrilling in a way. It's unique. It's a really good premise for, you know, a horror thriller monster movie. Minor spoiler. So, like, Emily Blunt, who, you know, plays John Krasinski, they're actually married in real life, but they're a married mm-hmm. couple with children and. The world has ended because these aliens invaded or whatever. But, like, she does not speak a word in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing that way. Like, in a movie, like, where would the top star not say a word? And she doesn't. Here's the problem with The Quiet Place. Even though I like the movie, you can't, and I'm not going to spoil it, but you'd have to see it to realize, the plot makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot survive a smidgen of scrutiny. It's one of those things that you just have to buy into. Mm. And while you're bought into it, the movie works and it makes sense. Apply any real world logic to how they're going to defeat these monsters or anything. It really makes no sense at all or whatsoever. Well, and therefore, the movie sort of collapses.
So do these aliens are allergic to water? And they invade a planet that's 70% water.
That was
the plot of Signs.
That was Signs, the Mel Gibson movie. Which, again, you know what?
Their alien armada was destroyed by a rainy day.
This movie probably is, if you want to compare it to that, I think that's a good comparison. I thought Signs was fun for what it was, and I thought this was probably a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
So, because I think this movie does have jump scares. It does have things in it that maybe Signs didn't quite get right. So, and John Krasinski directed it, so thumbs up, John, mm-hmm. doing a good job. And it was a fun, saw it at the drive-in. It was a fun drive-in movie.
All right.
What can I tell you? What did you see? You saw like a horror movie type deal.
This is a hot horror movie currently.
Yes.
Hereditary.
Hereditary.
Starring the great Toni Collette.
Okay.
The somewhat less great Gabriel Byrne.
Okay.
Oh, God, what's her name? For Ann Dowd.
Ann Dowd.
Who plays Aunt Lydia on Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, ooh.
She is the actress you go to if Margot Martindale's not available, or Kathy Bates.
All right. Let's pause, let everyone look all of these actors and actresses up, and we'll rejoin the show in one. Back to Corey's review of Hereditary.
She's like third in the line for that of the sinister old lady, but... She's great. I will say this. Hereditary is a movie where it's really uncomfortable. It's really kind of disturbing in that you see things in this movie
mm-hmm.
which are horrific and presented in a very realistic way.
Yeah.
But there's also a whole supernatural element to it.
Okay.
The more supernatural it got, the less I cared.
Okay.
It's kind of this, like, but on the other hand, I don't know if I wanted to watch the other movie that it is.
Yeah.
It's this, like, horribly uncomfortable family drama about this generational family that thinks they're crazy, or the mom, Toni Collette's mother dies, and she's, like, sorting through her feelings about it and having problems with her children and their whole relationship with her and the grandma, and she's afraid she's repeating the pattern. And then some weirder shit, so I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay, yeah.
But I feel like I didn't really want to watch either of the two movies. It's interesting. It's
really... people are liking this. I mean, it has a buzz.
It's definitely got a vibe to it, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
And it goes to some really weird, dark places.
Okay.
Toni Collette is great.
Yeah.
It's a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
Gable Byrne stands around as the good guy that's like, well, this can't be, this, you're losing your mind. And then it's the kids, but they like, the daughter, they do things like, okay, so the daughter, they casted the freakiest looking kid they could find.
That's usually how that works.
Right, and it's just like.
People are afraid of children. Yeah. Horror movies have made their bones.
I then felt like bad.
Giving us scary children,
well, I feel
which
bad
I don't
for
understand.
This actress, because they're like, look at her fucked up face.
Yeah.
Let's make a bit out of this. And I kind of feel like, you just cast a regular looking kid.
Yeah.
It would have been scarier.
Right.
In that she starts doing weird, scary things.
I mean, does the kid have like a genetic thing, or is it just have really big eyes or
she's
something?
Kind of like a weird. You take a look at her.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
She looks freaky.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of tacky. I don't know. I didn't like it the way everybody else loved it, but okay. I thought it was interesting. If you're a horror fan. It is kind of a different spin.
Are you happy that horror movies seem to have left the found footage model of
I'm delighted.
Paranormal activity
those
and that kind of stuff is
terrible.
Over? Yeah, some of those were real bad. Remember you telling me one of them was really good, and me and my girlfriend watched it and thought it sucked as bad as the other ones. I do remember that.
Which one was that?
I think 3, maybe, you saw?
I didn't say Paranormal 3 was good. No.
It was like the guy,
the catfish
guys made a movie, and you said it was good.
I said that was better than the other Paranormal.
Well,
Activity.
And maybe it was, but they all kind of stunk.
The third, the one after that was like in the barrio was the worst one.
Okay,
so bad.
I guess I didn't see. I don't want to see any of these. But now it feels like horror has kind of gone indie, in kind of smaller stories and
I just generally
family, and that seems to be because what was the Babadook and. Some of these, it seems
you
like
know,
that seems
you know,
to be
I'm not opposed to a good horror
they
movie,
do
but there's
now.
So few good horror movies.
Yeah.
Like, that. I mean, in a Quiet Place is a horror movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, it's more than a horror movie, but
You know what I felt about Hereditary?
It works in that way.
You know what I felt about Hereditary? I realize what I don't like about horror. I don't want to be scared.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
It's not in a feeling I want to have.
Well, I mean, is there a difference between trying to scare you, the audience member, and I'm feeling empathy with these characters for the situation that they're in.
Yes, there's a difference.
Because to me, there is a difference, and I feel like when they're trying to scare the viewer, it seems exploitive and cheap. That's easier to do.
I want a horror movie.
You know, having, it was just the cat and doing that 10 times.
I kind of want my horror movie to be funny or goofy or like a satire, like The Howling.
Or you want, what was the movie with the guys? They had a control room.
Halloween. Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, I kind of want.
That's what you want.
I want the characters to be stupid.
Yeah.
So we don't care that they get killed.
Yeah.
Or kind of a laugh to it.
Well, when this is but that was Scream, and there was a series of those.
Sure.
And
I don't. But yeah. I'm just. I realize I find that a lot of times I don't like horror, particularly like torture porn.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to watch. And in Hereditary. You're supposed to care about this family and then watch horrible things happen.
Well, it seems like things are not more about families, more about children and their, you know, more than Saw and that kind of stuff.
I'm sure.
Maybe those still exist and we just don't hear about them because it's been marginalized.
I read a great book called The Monster Show that broke down horror as being reflective of what's going on in the society. Like Frankenstein was the reconstructed bodies of soldiers that have been blown up in a war or whatever. Huh. All this kind of industrialized war and how these horror movies reflect the culture and AIDS and vampires in the 80s and stuff.
Okay.
And I don't know exactly what they're getting at with Hereditary.
Yeah.
But families are a thing that people are.
But I mean, it also could be a thing that when we look back 10 years ago, you'll be like, oh man, all those movies were about mothers and their children, and that's reflecting the disillusion of the family union in America, Corey.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers is a communist.
Yeah.
So all that, maybe you're right. We'll look at Hereditary later. It's interesting. If you're a horror fan, if you're a regular person, it's going to be kind of grueling. If you're a horror fan, you might think it's cool.
Well, speaking of grueling, let's wrap this up. But a couple quick things on movies and streaming. There's stuff we didn't. I know we didn't get. We're not going to get to these. On Netflix, there's a movie, I think it was one of my top 10 movies of the year, is a documentary called L.A. 92. That's now on Netflix. Check that out about the L.A. riots. Amazing. I know you finished up Barry. We talked about it last week on HBO.
Which got renewed for a second season.
It did, and people are calling it the greatest single series in a long time.
I'll be honest, I don't know how they're going to do a season two.
Yeah, it would
based on the ending.
Yeah, but it was that good of an ending.
Yeah.
You know, it almost can't be anything but a letdown, but season one of Barry is real good. Stick, because in a way, I want to tell people with that, stick with it. Because you may think after one episode or two episodes, okay, it's a hitman in acting class. We're going to get our little jokes about the fish out of water. But it turns into like a real crime thriller. It's good. Cops and robbers.
Barry's great. Yeah.
The last episode. It's one of those shows where the final episode was the best episode. And that's rare that the season finale sometime. That's usually when the show's
the show's
great.
Gold the whole
yeah, it
way
is.
Through.
It is. It's really good.
Show.
So thumbs up to those guys. I was going to talk about Evil Genius on Netflix. I know a lot of you watched that. Corey didn't, but maybe we'll talk about it next time. So if you're a fan, we'll talk about Evil Genius on the next show. Maybe Corey could even give that a look.
I'll try.
You have a woman in your house. She would enjoy that. So maybe it's really to me, and I know we both like The Jinx. This is the closest thing to that they've made in the true crime genre. It's better than Making a Murderer. It's not bullshit like that. And the West Memphis 3 stuff. It's real good. See Evil Genius. It's on Netflix. It's not even that long. I think it's 4 45-minute episodes, so you could watch that in a night or two. Very good.
All right.
Evil Genius, watch that. You keeping up on Westworld, or are you done?
No.
Yeah, a lot of people are out. I got through two and I haven't seen it.
I got to tell you, I don't have patience for this golden age of television.
Oh, it's tough.
The show, okay, it's tough. My wife watched The Americans, like it was her.
Yeah, I watched the first season of that.
The pacing of that show.
Yeah.
Even to
glacial.
Up to the last episode.
Yeah.
It was literally like watching grass grow.
Yeah.
And it was a good show.
Yeah.
It was well acted.
Could have been a great feature film.
You know what I realized? The problem with that show was I never cared one goddamn bit about any of the spy work they did.
Yeah, I know.
Whereas like a show like Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
Everything's important.
Right.
You know what I mean? Everything they do matters.
I couldn't wait for the American, you know, it was one of those shows where like I couldn't wait for them to get busted as spies.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, I went like, oh, it's going to take 8 seasons to see them get busted as spies. I'm good. I want those 80 hours back in my life more than I care about
resolution.
They kept
it up till the last frame.
Well, but, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, Homeland finished their plot that, you know, the plot that started the Homeland series. They wrapped that up after season two. And then I went like, I'm good. I know they did six more seasons of that shit.
That's what I'm saying about Barry. It was so perfect for one season.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how they're going to sustain the premise.
Well, they left you hanging there too a little bit. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you, Corey Hall. Thanks for doing the show. Thanks for coming by.
Shabbat shalom.
Thanks for giving us your thoughts on Roseanne. We've all been waiting. We'll be at, you can catch Corey over at IHOP having a burger. You'll see him
there. With Lisa Lampanelli, Jeremy Clarkson, Tom Arnold. We'll all be over at the IHOP.
Yeah, we didn't get to Samantha Bee.
Bottom line on Samantha Bee, she says shit like that every episode.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing she may be on the way out, but I don't know if that's a thing. I don't know what I'm reading. I could have been reading fake news.
Yeah.
Probably was. Facebook's fixing that. Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I'll believe that when I see it. Whatever. Can we have a Facebook purge all these open micers?
Yeah, well, you can.
Then on my feed.
We'll do that. Didn't we used to delete people from our feeds on the show?
We should do that.
That was
now fun.
That's a gimmick we should bring back. We didn't do a classic episode of the week. I apologize for that too, but we'll have to bring that back. See you later next time, Joel Radio. Check out our Solo review if you didn't hear that. It was fun. I think go see Solo. Fuck, I don't know what's coming better at the movies than that this summer.
Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming. I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to see the new Jurassic World.
Did you see the Bumblebee trailer?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I didn't want to drink bleach after watching the Bumblebee trailer.
That's a thumbs up.
By the standards of the Transformers movies, I thought it looked okay.
All right, we'll catch you next time. Good night.